Ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday morning. Good Friday. Hope everybody's doing well ahead of this Easter weekend. We got, of course, a ton of big news to get to. Almost all of it having to do with Iran. And trust me, it's not by choice. It's just there's a lot going on with the generals being purged, multiple aircraft now being shot down by Iran in what appears to be a failed attempt to start the ground invasion. We'll bring you all of that news as well as the political fallout from the generals being fired, Pam Bondi being fired, Theo Vaughn going on Joe Rogan and being told he's crazy for saying the truth. Just a lot to cover. So let's get into it like we do every day with our Daily Dispatch. Here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 3rd of April, 2026. Three generals ousted as Pentagon shakes up war command. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has removed the Army's top general along with two other senior officers in a sweeping wartime shakeup, dramatically expanding a leadership purge inside the Pentagon as the Iran war intensifies. Hegseth asked the top officials to step down and take immediate retirement, as initially reported by multiple news outlets and confirmed to military.com by the Pentagon. The department said George will retire effective immediately. Defense officials also said the shakeup includes General David Hodney, who leads the Army's Training and Doctrine Command, and Major General William Green Jr., the Army's Chief of Chaplains. The removal of multiple senior officers marks one of the most significant wartime leadership shakeups during active U.S. combat operations in recent years. No official explanation has been publicly provided. So, of course, a lot of speculation about this. We'll bring it all to you, but the most common sentiment is this is probably because the generals didn't want to do a ground invasion of Iran, or perhaps use a nuclear weapon or some sort of other order that they were given that they vehemently disagreed with. That is speculation. It could very well be the other way around. So we'll get into what may have happened there. Meanwhile, Iran refuses to meet U.S. negotiators in Pakistan. Iran told mediators that it will not meet with the American officials in Islamabad, Pakistan, and has rejected U.S. demands. The Wall Street Journal reported Friday. The decision is the latest blow to President Donald Trump's efforts to broker an agreement to end the war, which began nearly 5 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago today, I would say. Trump stated this week that if Iran, that Iran had asked for a ceasefire, though he may have referenced a public comment from Iranian President Pezeshkian expressing openness to a ceasefire in exchange for security guarantees. But of course, I mean, every couple of days, Trump says they're on the cusp of a ceasefire, on the cusp of an agreement, only to have Iran come out and say, nope, not even close. Actually, not even talking. So they were supposed to go meet in Pakistan. Iran did not want to meet in Pakistan. They wanted to meet in Qatar. This was a non-starter for them. And so they chose not to continue with the ceasefire talks, which, again, can't really blame them. We do keep killing everybody that we're supposed to be negotiating with, so I understand why they would want to take extra security precautions. This is, once again, the consequences of our own decisions. We have only ourselves to blame. Trump, meanwhile, requests $1.5 trillion for military spending. With the United States at war with Iran and embroiled in conflicts around the world, the White House asked Congress on Friday to approve about $1.5 trillion for defense in the 2026 fiscal year. If enacted, that amount would set military spending at the highest level in modern history. No, we cannot do daycare. We cannot do welfare. We cannot even maintain the Social Security fund that we took your money your whole life in order to uphold. But we do have $1.5 trillion for waging a war overseas that, as of yet, has only hurt us and has only caused us pain, suffering, and higher prices. Finally, American fighter jet shot down over Iran. One crew member has been rescued. Another one is missing. There's news now that another aircraft has gone down. The A-10 Warthog has gone down, as well as a helicopter that was searching for the missing pilots. We'll cover that on the other side. Stay with us.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well on this Good Friday. Had a Easter weekend. We, of course, have a lot to talk about in terms of the Iran war. Some major developments happening over the last 24 hours. None of them good. All of them easily predictable. And we did predict it. It appears as though some sort of ground invasion probing force is at work on the coast of Iran. And they're being supported by a whole cadre of various aircraft. Reported yesterday that A-10 Warthogs were seen moving towards the Middle East. Those, of course, are infantry support aircraft. So that's what you use to clear the ground before the infantry goes in. That's what they're used for. That was a symbol, a sign that, yes, indeed, the ground invasion of Iran was imminent, and it appears to have gotten off to an absolutely terrible start. Also, of course, we'll get into the purging of the Pentagon and the generals being fired. This is from Limitless at Limitless Cobbs on X. It says, holy cow, catastrophic morning for the U.S. air campaign in Iran. An F-15E Strike Eagle was shot down over Koguliya province, wreckage confirmed by Warzone. Ejection seat found and photographed by Iranian civilians. A rescue helicopter was also reportedly shot down. Iranian state TV broadcasting a bounty for American pilots, promising a valuable reward for any Iranian who were to capture one of the downed pilots. Trump, 24 hours ago, said that Iran was eviscerated, that the war was essentially over, and certainly that their air defenses were no longer anything to be concerned about. The running total so far is 483, followed by about 100 zeros. Let's see if I can even figure out what number I'm looking at here. I think this is 4.8 billion. Yeah, 4.8 billion. All right. Sometimes, you know, when you're talking about trillions and hundreds of millions, it gets confusing sometimes. So, yeah, nearly $5 billion in assets destroyed, 25-plus aircraft, 6 F-15s down. Trump, just 24 hours ago, said, you know, bragging about eviscerating Iran and saying that the war is over. These would be the first American POWs of the entire war if the pilots were captured. Now, one has been rescued. One is still missing. And it is likely that he was captured because, of course, there are GPS locators on their uniforms and the ejection seats. And so if they cannot be found by the, you know, GPS coordinates, then it means they've been removed from their equipment. This person says, I just got off the phone with a former CENTCOM operations officer. What he told me made my stomach drop. When they deny the jet exists, but the wreckage is on camera, the next move is always the worst one. This is not a war winding down. This is a war that just produced hostages. And of course, I don't think I need to tell you this if you're a regular viewer. All of this was predictable. All of this was obvious. I saw a bunch of headlines yesterday saying, the Pentagon was shocked at the resilience of Iran. They did not expect such a resistance. And I just want to say again, how did we know? How is it that the Pentagon didn't know, but we did? That doesn't make any sense. No, they knew. Of course they knew. Maybe they didn't want to believe. Maybe they were so just controlled by hubris and self-importance. They thought it didn't matter what the facts on the ground were, but to pretend like nobody knew that this is what was going to happen is absolutely ridiculous. Obviously, it was never a good idea to do a ground invasion, and even just a tiny little, you know, whatever, Mission Impossible, Ocean's 11 heist to get the uranium always comes with the risk of those soldiers being captured, becoming POWs, forcing a rescue mission, which itself could get shot down, causing more problems. You know, it's this, like the old lady that swallowed the fly and had to swallow a spider and then a frog and then a cat and then a dog. It's like, yeah, this is the snowball effect, folks. If only Trump could do it himself. So it ain't going well, folks. It's not going well. We have supposed footage of this all happening, the fighter jet going down. We go to clip number 18 here. This purports to be the footage of the actual jet going down, I believe. We can go to this. So this was released by the Iranian media, claiming to show the F-15E being shot down above Iran. And once it crashed down, you had the search commence. And again, the search in and of itself was, you know, kind of odd. There's the ejection seats being deployed. The ejection seats, of course, have the parachutes and they have GPS trackers on them. But the pylons weren't there. So then we had to scan the ground with, you know, scanning equipment on helicopters. Now apparently a helicopter has been brought down. We can go to clip number 20. This is Iranian tribesmen using their rifles, their hunting rifles, to open fire on the U.S. rescue aircraft. We can go to clip number 20 now. You can bring the audio up a little bit. Some pretty dramatic gunshot noises and screaming of people. But yeah, there's lots of videos of these Iranian tribesmen just on their own shooting their rifles at the American Air Force. In this case, I think they're shooting at the helicopter, the search and rescue helicopter. So it doesn't seem like they're embracing us as liberators. You know, I saw somebody suggest maybe they can't find the pilots because the Iranian people are helping to hide them. No, they got their guns out and are shooting at them. Clip 29, I believe, is a similar video, although this may show, again, this purports to be, and again, there's so much AI and so much. The facts on the ground, as I'm reporting them, are confirmed. These videos, not necessarily each and every one of them has been confirmed, but there's a lot of AI out there, and I've avoided a lot of it. But I believe this is, purports to be at least, a video of the Iranians perhaps capturing one of the pilots that was there. We can go to clip number 19 here. This is a report from ABC News about some of the new unexpected technology that Iran deployed in order to take down this extremely advanced fighter jet. Let's watch.
Colonel Ganier, what does this mean for U.S. jet strikes and other aerial missions moving forward?
That the skies are not as safe as they perhaps presumed. My guess is that this was daytime. My guess is that that the Iranians used what's called infrared. So they used detection that's passive, that used heat differences. The president did say that their radars rolled down, and so he probably can claim that legitimately. But the fact that there are still anti-aircraft kinds of capabilities that are based on heat temperature differences that can identify aircraft and still target aircraft is probably what got this F-15.
So once again, just the very fact that they can shoot down a jet shows that everything Trump said during his speech the day before yesterday can't have been true, is not true, obviously, because we don't control the airs. We don't control the airspace. We don't control and have not wiped out Iran's missile launching capability. Go to clip number 3 now. This is a prominent Iranian correspondent, I believe, talking about rumors of not just planes going down, but intense infantry clashes inside Iran. Let's watch.
Well, the state TV has said that Iran has downed American fighter jet. They say it's F-35. Now, we cannot confirm that from our side. And that two U.S. pilots are missing inside Iranian territories. This took place towards the west of the country in the areas of Luristan, between the areas of Luristan. And now we're hearing that, according to information that's circulating here on Iranian media, that the U.S. is conducting search operations for pilots who fell in two areas, Kaghalu and Bur Ahmed, as well as in Bushehr. Airdrop operations have been carried out and intense clashes. So what the Iranians are saying is that there are intense clashes between this forces and Iranian ground forces from the Revolutionary Guards in the Dailam region, resulting in casualties among the invading forces. This is based on what the Iranians are saying. So
again, imminently predictable, could not have gone more to the script, right? I mean, it's just exactly what we always expected. Going into Iran, knowing that we haven't taken out their missile defense, knowing that we don't actually control their airspace, but they lied and said that we did. We told you we didn't. Just, I mean, again, it's like, what is going on in the world where literally just like we know more about this stuff than the White House, apparently? Again, doesn't make any sense. It's a ridiculous thing to think that we would somehow have better information and know more than they're lying. They're lying to you. Do you understand? So we knew that their air defense was not destroyed. We knew that a ground invasion was imminent. We knew that once they tried to do a ground invasion, it would probably be something small, but that there would be casualties and likely POWs, and that would necessitate a rescue operation, which itself would be targeted and could quickly spiral out into a wider conflict. This is a script that we laid out as soon as this conflict started, and they're following it to a T. You should really ask yourself why. Now let's go to clip number four here. This is a retired U.S. general admitting the terrifying truth about the Strait of Hormuz. Let's watch. Clip number four, sorry.
Wall Street Journal writes in one of the editorials today, the only reason why Iran is surviving this war is because of the Strait of Hormuz. The Iranian thinking is, at the end, the Strait must remain under the control because it's their only deterrence. I guess you kind of agree with that, so what do we do about it?
Well, there's a thought that once we stop operations with all assigned objectives, we're going to go to our own self-imposed ceasefire, that Iran will eventually open up the straits. That is likely. They will likely at some point open it up. But the reality is they're in control, and we cannot let that stand. That is the issue. Not that they would open it up. It's the fact that they are in control. And that would be a strategic victory for them, because then they're impacting our allies and partners in the region. They're controlling when do they shut it down. They could shut it down again and interfere with things when things aren't exactly going their way. That cannot happen, in my view. What we have to do is open it up ourselves, and we have the capability to do that. There are well-thought-out plans to do that.
So you've seen these plans?
I understand in a general sense what it is. And those plans, the people in charge of them have a lot of confidence in doing it because they play war games and like to do this sort of thing. We think we can absolutely accomplish that mission. And then at some point, we would pass it to allies and partners for them to continue to do it. We may have to give them a couple of assets that we have that uniquely that they may not have. But nonetheless, this is a very doable, and we certainly cannot leave Iran in control where they shut that down and open it up at will. That would change the Middle East and give them huge amount of influence, and that would be staggering after almost 2 months of taking all their offensive capability away from them and leave them as a huge geopolitical advantage which that gives them.
So that's like worst case scenario. I mean, as of right now, without some major change, and it looks like the attempts to do something are being intercepted and prevented, the only, like, the ultimate upshot outcome of this war will have been that we surrendered the Strait of Hormuz to Iran. That's what he's talking about right there. Basically, that is a very viable outcome at this point. Without getting into like total World War III, which we'll probably choose to do anyway. But I want you to understand just how, yeah, Trump administration underestimated Iran's impact on Strait of Hormuz. Just like, but how though? That's like, if that's true, they should all be fired. That's the thing. If they actually didn't know this was going to happen, they should all be probably not just fired, but, you know, tarred and feathered while we're at it, because you'd have to be an idiot. You'd have to be an absolute idiot not to know exactly how this would go. And it's easy to say that after the fact, but we said it before the fact, which is why it's important that InfoWars be on the air to be here so we can tell you, hey, here's what's really going to happen. Here's the reality of the, you know, situation on the ground. So then later when they come out and go, oh, gee, we couldn't have expected this, you can point back to our shows where we predicted exactly how it would happen as proof that they're lying. You understand? I want you to understand how badly this is going right now. We've got stories from The Intercept claiming that the casualty figures that we've been given here in America are significantly undercounting the real number of injured and dead American soldiers. We are in less of a secure place than we were at the start of this war. Iran is more in control of the Strait of Hormuz than they were at the start of the war. Of course, our off-ramps are routinely obliterated, destroyed, deconstructed by Israel when they kill the people that we are hoping to work with. But like, it's almost too much to think about it a single time, how many different ways this has gone bad. It's like hard to even explain, but I want to go to clip number 10 here. Because when you think about the fact we're 5 weeks into this war, as of tonight, we've lost men, we've lost billions and billions of dollars of very expensive and hard to replace equipment. The energy shocks around the world are going to continue for a long time. The fertilizer shocks we haven't even started to feel yet, but will be devastating. There's like geopolitical realignment that is all opposed to our, you know, benefits and priorities. India just bought oil from Iran for the first time ever because of what's happening. So we now have our allies buying oil from our enemies as a consequence of our action, kind of like exactly what happened between Russia and China. I mean, it goes on and on, right? We're still in it. We're still not, like, we're still apparently gearing up for a ground invasion. In fact, I don't know, did you guys censor the video of the soldier talking about deploying? Let's go to clip number 9 here, just because this is, you know, it's still American young men, the best and brightest, most patriotic of us are being sent probably to die in this, you know, godforsaken debacle. Oh, here's one of them. Let's watch.
Well, guys, we just got emergency orders. I guess I'm going to Iran. So that's a thing. I guess they're canceling the whole training rotation so that they can emergency send our asses to go fight in the war. Nice knowing you guys. It's your dude, Jordo.
So there you go. Not exactly thrilled about it, but he knows what's coming. But all this is to say, this was so unnecessary. There was no imminent threat, as confirmed by everybody who's not Trump lying, Pete Hegseth lying, Marco Rubio lying. They told us themselves that the imminent threat was from Israel attacking Iran, knowing that Iran would counterattack, but apparently not understanding how big the counterattack would be. So again, doesn't make a lot of sense. We had no reason to go to war with Iran. We were negotiating with Iran. The people even that we were working with ostensibly to take over Iran after we kill all of their leadership were then killed by Israel. And it turns out what's been revealed today, clip number 10 from David Rode, was that Iran was actually willing to make gigantic concessions and had told Trump's negotiators, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, that they're willing to surrender all of their enriched uranium in exchange for security guarantees, meaning that this entire war was essentially solved, could have been totally avoided if we had just stuck with the diplomacy that was having tangible success. Instead, we killed everybody we were negotiating with and are now in this absolute quagmire with everything going bad. But let's watch this reveal earlier today of what the Iranians had offered to the Americans for the during the last meeting 5 weeks ago, right before we bombed a bunch of their children. Let's watch.
Iran offered to give away all of its enriched uranium during the peace talks. And hours later, the U.S. started dropping bombs. And The Guardian broke yesterday that there were British officials, the British National Security Advisor was present in Geneva during that last round of talks. The British were surprised by the Iranian offer. They thought it was credible. They thought the talks should continue. And the British were shocked when the Trump administration started bombing Iran hours later.
So it just shows you how pointless this war is to this day. Totally unnecessary. We could have gotten everything that we wanted. Now we apparently have an American POW missing somewhere in Iran, invasion rescue force being staged to try to go in and save them, meaning that this snowball is really starting to roll down the hill, and it's only going to get worse as this feedback loop really gets into motion. Totally avoidable from not just the beginning, but from before the beginning. This was never even remotely necessary, never even... I just can't believe it. I just cannot believe how deliberate all of this is. Nothing has forced our hand on any of this except for Israel, right? Iran wasn't threatening to attack us. Did not plans to attack us. We're in the middle of negotiating, and we're willing to give us everything that we wanted that apparently this war was focused on, right? So we start the war 5 weeks ago with this checklist of things that we want to achieve. The primary one, the main one that all the other ones are in service of, is getting rid of their enriched uranium, right? That's the main goal. You got to get rid of their Navy. You got to get rid of their missile launchers. But all that is just because you want to get that uranium. Now, in the 5 weeks since we announced this goal of getting their uranium and destroying their nuclear program, it's changed. Now our goal is to simply mitigate the effects of the war by opening the Strait of Hormuz. Seems like we're not even really trying to open the Strait of Hormuz anymore. And so the actual goal of the war in the first place that could have been achieved through diplomacy, we had the offer on the table hours before we chose to start the war. Yet instead of even achieving that goal that was just right there, imminently available, ready to be picked up, we didn't do it through diplomacy, and now it's not even in the top three or four potential outcomes for this war that we're currently pursuing. Now it's gone back to, let's just try to mitigate, let's just try to undo the consequences of this war that we started by opening the Strait of Hormuz. And Trump came out 2 days ago saying, actually, we're not even trying to open the Strait of Hormuz. That's going to be on Europe. So again, I'm just trying to lay out, just, you know, from my memory, just like how many off ramps we could have had that have been deliberately ignored or destroyed, how pointless this entire conflict was in the first place, and how the negative consequences will unravel before us.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder, 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support, and you're being part of this operation, and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com, and look at these two new amazing lines. I know you're the big
big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out the Liver King. You say you've taken Methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade, take Starting Meds Kick In. I've given this to 500 people. Only 3 people didn't feel it right away. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, when I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
Personally, I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. I was telling you, I've had a little bit of a cold for the past few days, under-rested. It felt like my brain was working at 50% capacity, just felt slow. And now, what's it been, a half hour or so, it feels like I'm back up to 80%. So, yeah, that's my experience. Feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them.
You and be honest, I know you will be. Because we're always trying to find a better methylene blue. If you've got one that's better, you said you've taken it before. Did you feel the same thing with the other methylene blue?
No, with other ones I've tried, I didn't have a perceptible difference. Yeah, didn't notice anything.
Well, I got to tell you, Bigly, I said, go find me the best. They said, this place doesn't sell it to people. They sell it for medical dyes for arteries, instead of like iodine, radioactive iodine. They use this for tracking blood clots or something. And I said, okay, great. So you got to deal with them? I said, well, let me get it. And I've taken a bunch of different brands before. It didn't really do much. I was like, when I did it. And I was like, so they hit a home run with this. So you're saying you've taken, we didn't talk about this beforehand. I would just ask you. You've taken others before, though, did not feel like this.
Yeah, that's true. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it.
And yeah, my understanding, you mentioned this, methylene blues, they're not all created equal. Some, I believe, are like a fish aquarium grade.
Yeah.
But they sell it to humans. So what you found, I'm stoked to really.
Look, I love Bigly. Their rule is go out and get the best. Most of our products are private label. It's already top rated. So I said, get the best methylene blue. So I think we've got the best. JB's here didn't even know this backstory that you all know. You just saw what just happened to him. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I want to remind you, or actually probably tell you for the first time, there's a new InfoWars 1776 limited edition collection series of t-shirts and hats at thealexjonesstore.com. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, it's the Alex Jones 1776 limited edition collection. Tons of just absolutely awesome designs for the patriot in your life or yourself. Feel like treating yourself. We also have rolling sales, so different products will be on sale different days. Right now, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit Caps and Gummies, MK Ultra, and Atomic Defense are 40% off. You're getting 35% off Colostrum and Life Force, and 30% off the iodine tincture, methylene blue tincture, methylene red tincture, and creatine powder. So that's 30% off methylene blue, 35% off colostrum, 40% off ultra DNA revival, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And we still do have some of the Faraday bag bundles in stock. So those are selling out fast. Don't wait. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Get yourself a Faraday bag bundle and rest easy knowing that your belongings are shielded from electromagnetic rays. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the only way that we stay on air. So the latest is that the ceasefires have hit a dead end because Iran refuses to meet with American negotiators. One American pilot has been rescued. A second is being searched for. A Black Hawk helicopter has also been hit, apparently. And now a second Air Force combat plane has crashed in the Persian Gulf region on Friday. And the lone pilot was safely rescued, according to two U.S. officials who spoke on conditions of anonymity. An A-10 Warthog attack plane went down near the Strait of Hormuz the same time that an Air Force F-15E was shot down over Iran, the official said. In that incident, one crew member was rescued, and a search and rescue operators are looking for the second airman. Officials provided scant details about the A-10 crash, including how and where it happened. But that's an A-10, an F-15E, and reportedly a Black Hawk helicopter all down today, 2 days after Donald Trump gave a primetime nationwide address in which he said that the Iranian air defenses were thoroughly, completely, and totally destroyed. So, no, they're not, obviously. And, of course, that's not the only place that the Middle East war is heating up and not in a good way if you're, you know, not Iran. Let's go to clip number 13 here. This is footage showing an Iranian missile hit Tel Aviv last night. Absolutely no interceptor missiles were fired at this one. Let's go to clip number 13. So again, you know, yesterday was the day before yesterday was the biggest bombardment of Tel Aviv, at least since the war began, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down whatsoever. Again, it's hard to get video out of Israel, and there's just every day dozens of AI videos showing, you know, huge amounts of missiles falling. So far, I don't think I've shown you anything that isn't confirmed. Like in this whole, you know, more than a month at this point of war, which is just crazy. We've been at war for over a month at this point. Let's go to clip 28 here. This was posted saying thanks to the tight Israeli censorship, we hardly ever get videos, but this was able to be smuggled out. Videos capture Iranian projectile falling in central Israel. So this was reported last night and verified and confirmed by Al Jazeera. And you have multiple angles of this assault on central Tel Aviv.
You, Nifira!
So there you go. Strike after strike after strike. It's not going well. It's just not going well, I guess you can say. U.S. intelligence assesses Iran maintains significant missile launching capability, sources say. Roughly half of Iran's missile launchers are still intact, and thousands of one-way attack drones remain in Iran's arsenal despite daily poundings by U.S. and Israeli strikes against military targets over the past 5 weeks, according to recent U.N. U.S. intelligence assessments. Three sources familiar with the intel told CNN they're still very much poised to wreak absolute havoc throughout the entire region, one of the sources said of Iran. The U.S. intelligence assessment total may include launchers that are currently inaccessible, such as those buried underground by strikes but not destroyed. Thousands of Iranian drones still exist, roughly 50% of the country's drone capabilities, two of the sources said the intelligence indicated. The intelligence compiled in recent days also shows a large percentage of Iran's coastal defense cruise missiles still intact, the sources say. Consistent with the U.S. not focusing its air campaign on coastal military assets, though they have been hitting ships. Those missiles serve as a key capability allowing Iran to threaten shipping traffic in the Strait of Hormuz. Again, just this is the reality on the ground, even if those in power would rather you not know it. And it's really not going well for Israel. They are kind of getting their butts handed to them by Hezbollah and are now completely, you know, changing their mind on what the ultimate goal of that is. Last week they were saying, we are going to annex all of South Lebanon and make it a security buffer zone. And now they're like, can we please go home now? Please, for the love of God, just let us go home and don't kill us. And I think that's a little too much to ask, frankly. Let's go to clip number 7 here. This is actually a IOF reservist. So this is the defense or the offensive forces of Lebanon, whatever. It's a corollary to the IDF, another military force there in Israel. Let's go to clip number 7. This is one of their reservists talking to a French reporter about his experience on the Lebanese frontier. Let's watch. He says, or the reporter says, with his face hidden for security reasons, this reservist agrees to speak with us. Just back from 2 weeks on the Lebanese front, he describes the exhaustion and hardships facing mobilized troops. But it's really tough, he says. You're exhausted. We pay a heavy price in our personal lives and, of course, on my body, on my mental health. Since the October 7th attacks, he served 350 days, a relentless pace that's become routine in the Israeli army. Imagine somebody taking a third or quarter of your time with your wife, kids, work, hobbies, whatever. We're drained. One solution the government is considering recruiting ultra-Orthodox Jews into the army. Until now, they've been exempt from the military, basically saying that you'll see posters like this saying that everything must be done to prevent the Orthodox from being used as soldiers. They say a pool of soldiers, basically saying they have to get them into compulsory service. They say compulsory service is not enough given the front we face today and will have to face in the future. The Israeli army currently needs 12,000 new soldiers. Without major changes, I see no other solution than to reduce our missions. Reservists don't work during their service days and are paid by the state. Their massive and continuous mobilization by the army in the coming months could also have a major impact on the country's economy. America pays for it. They pay for it with the money America gives them, but still. Again, just not going well. Just total collapse of morale and collapse of their very ambitious desires in South Lebanon. Israel scales back war aims from the Litani to just 3 kilometers and no longer seeking Hezbollah's disarmament. Israeli Army Radio reports that the military will present a plan this week to the political leadership aimed at the complete destruction of villages along the southern Lebanese border and the establishment of a security zone cleared of civilians with no return allowed for Lebanese residents of frontline towns. According to Israeli military officials, the entire area within 3 to 4 kilometers of the border will be transformed into a buffer zone reinforced by forward military positions. At the same time, the Israeli army now states that disarming Hezbollah is not among the objectives of the war. For over a year, Israeli leadership insisted Hezbollah had been crippled or effectively neutralized. Today, the goal of disarmament is no longer even pursued. The contradiction is unavoidable. If that objective had been dropped, it's because it was never achievable in the first place. What was once framed as an advance towards the Litani River has now been reduced to a narrow strip of 3 to 4 kilometers. If this trajectory continues, those goals will be shrinking until the reality becomes undeniable. Holding ground inside Lebanon is not sustainable, and imposing outcomes by force has clear limits. Regardless of these plans, the reality on the ground will not follow that script. The people of the South will return to their villages. Regardless of these plans, the reality on the ground will not follow that script. Repeats itself. A depopulated buffer zone is not something that can be imposed or sustained. It's something they will never be able to achieve. Well, hopefully. Hopefully they will not be able to achieve that. But, of course, it's exactly what we said would happen last time that we were on with Lebanon John, who will be joining us in the third hour of today's program to talk about the latest developments, including what's happening in Lebanon and Iran, and a very interesting theory he has about the firing of the generals here in America that we'll get to in just a second. In fact, that's what our next story is about. From themirror.co.uk, 7 unhinged signs Donald Trump's White House is in meltdown and something huge is about to happen. So he's considering firing some of his most loyal sycophants. His Secretary of War is at war with the U.S. military, and Trump keeps boasting about committing war crimes in Iran. He's considering firing some of his most loyal sycophants. They say his administration is in meltdown again. There's also increasing evidence that Trump is planning to put boots on the ground in the Middle East this weekend. Things are moving fast. Here's all the unhinged moments from Trump's escalating meltdown. It all started with him sacking Pam Bondi on Wednesday before Trump was supposed to go in front of the cameras to deliver an address to the nation with an update of the Iran war. He had a chat with Attorney General Pam Bondi, reportedly in the back of the Beast automobile, on his way to the White House from the Supreme Court. Bondi, who's been a loyal sycophant, but a pretty terrible AG, is ultimately the reason some of the Epstein files are in the public domain and the cause of many of Trump's most existential nightmares. Trump had promised to release the files if he returned to office, and early last year she arranged a stunt with a bunch of MAGA influencers who were handed big binders marked the Epstein files. Unfortunately, when the influencers started to read them, they noticed most, if not all, of the files were already in the public domain. And I guess on that note, we can go ahead and go to this video. Take a little sojourn, a little deviation away from the list of the Trump meltdowns to show a video of Thomas Massie talking about Pam Bondi being fired, his interpretation of how this all went down. Let's go to clip number one here. This is Thomas Massie on Pam Bondi, the Epstein files. Let's watch.
Are you confident you will see that?
I don't know if we're going to see it in this administration.
Why do you say that?
Because Pam Bondi has, you know, she's been so against this. I would say from the beginning, but in the beginning, I think she earnestly was ready to release files. And then I think she wasn't in on the joke when they gave her those binders that had nothing in it. Then she found out she looked like a joke and she shot off the angry letter to the FBI. But at some point, somebody got to Pam Bondi and said, it's your job to cover this.
So there you go. Pam Bondi. And I think there might be something there. Because again, I mean, just going back and looking at how all of this unfolded, I mean, none of it really makes any sense. And it's especially weird being in this position now where you hear things like, you know, this Daily Mail article that's like, Trump's administration's melting down again. It's like, how many times have we heard this over the last 10 years? Every other time I've ever heard anything like this, you just kind of roll your eyes and you're like, okay, it's the liberal media trying to stir up drama where there isn't any. And it's just weird because like their coverage has remained the same, but now it's like, no, it's true though. But now it actually is true. Again, this isn't a change in my perspective. I can just tell you that previously they would be manufacturing scandals and coming up with stuff to try to cause trouble. But now, I mean, look around. Pam Bondi's being fired. Joe Kent resigned in protest. I mean, that in and of itself was a major deal. As this article notes with its second point of the meltdown, Pete Hegseth just sacked the most senior army general in the middle of a war. And then he sacked two other very high profile generals and then a whole bunch of other slightly lower underlings of theirs. Total massive shakeup. Not something you do if things are going well. Susie Wiles, Trump's campaign manager and top assistant at the White House, gives an interview where she's saying that Trump is being, you know, kept from damning information and, you know, these people advising him are only presenting him the rose-colored view of reality. I mean, that's a big deal. You've got the head person at the White House going to the media and telling them that Trump is being lied to and presented a false image of this war. I mean, this is the meltdown. And again, it's crazy to go through 10 years of the left talking about Trump in the craziest way possible. Because I got to figure out how to say this. It makes sense to me. None of this is all that complicated. But it's hard to even explain. It's like right now, it seems like Trump is on a very dangerous path. And it's almost to the point that I'm like, I'm not even at that point. I'm not at that point yet because it's just too dangerous of a precedent. But you look back at General Mattis or whoever, was it Mattis or the other guy? It was the other guy saying, you know, we need to take these nuclear codes away from Trump. And it's like, okay, that was treasonous. I just was like go off on that endlessly because it obviously wasn't true then. But like now, I don't know. If Trump feels cornered and gives an order to drop a nuke on Tehran, I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility at this point. So it's like things have changed. It's not like you go back and go, so he was right the whole time. It's like, no, they were treasonous. They were absolutely not. It was not right what they did to Trump, and it's not right when they were talking about 25th Amendmenting him because he, you know, asked Ukraine to look into corruption or whatever nonsense they would get into. But it's like he has become the parody. He has become the person that they always said he was, and that is the craziest part of all of this, is that he wasn't for his entire presidential political career. He was never the warmonger. He was never the unhinged person. They always portrayed it as that. It was just never true. You could always see what he was really doing. You could always, if you just looked at what he was saying, it was very clear, you know, that what they were saying was lies. Now I look at it, and it's like they're saying the same thing, but now it actually is true. And so it's just a weird feeling. It's just a kind of bizarre. And again, it's not, I'm not going back going, oh man, I was fooled back then. He was like this the whole time. He wasn't like this. This wasn't the way things were. His White House was not in meltdown and chaos, like, you know, free fall. It is now. It is. It absolutely is. In fact, as of today, Trump's approval rating has flipped and gone up, upside down, underwater with working class white voters for the first time ever, ever since he came on the political scene. Since he came down that golden escalator in 2015, he has always had an above average, a positive approval rating with white working class voters. Today, for the first time, that's flipped. Okay. Something has gone wrong. His chief of staff is giving these interviews. Something has gone wrong. They're firing the top generals. Something has gone terribly wrong here. Okay. So it's just, it feels weird to be like reading these articles that leftists have been writing for 10 years, but now it's like, well, now they're right. It sucks, but Trump has made them correct, unfortunately. Okay, so you've got, he's fired Pam Bondi. Pete Hegseth sacks all these generals. What does it all mean, they ask. We can only speculate on the reason for this unprecedented purge at the top of the army, but here are some facts that may have played a role. The chief of staff would ultimately be responsible for any infantry boots on the ground in Iran. Thousands of army soldiers, notably the 82nd Airborne Division, have been deployed to the Middle East and are expected to arrive about now. If the mission requires any non-standard operations, such as, say, the rapid evacuation of nuclear sites, the viability of that would have to be signed off by the chief of transition and training. The chief of chaplains is the senior army advisor for the ethical and spiritual impact of warfare, particularly on the rules of engagement. Trump keeps bragging about targeting civilian infrastructure in Iran. More on this later. Trump historically has always commenced and announced major military operations over the weekend while the markets are closed, and today is Friday. So add all these things up, and if one were to speculate, it seems to be a reasonable supposition that Hegseth gave an order on Thursday that one or more of the generals took issue with. The theory is given further weight by Hegseth replacing the chief of staff with General Christopher Lenev, a loyalist who was handpicked and fast-tracked to the deputy role after serving as Hegseth's senior military assistant. A Pentagon spokesperson last night said Lenev was, quote, completely trusted by Secretary Hegseth to carry out the vision of the administration without fault. Okay, so number four, then rumors started swirling of a wider and more brutal reshuffle as the dust settled from Bondi's ouster and the sacking of the top of the army. This is unsurprising for reasons we've covered already. Trump's poll ratings are a dumpster fire. He is the most unpopular president of all time, and his already terrible approval rating has taken another even more humiliating nosedive since the start of the war. So the talk of the town is that he's about ready to clear house, taking down some or all of the people he blames for his woes. He's very angry and he's going to be moving people, a source told Politico last night. And of course, top of the list, Tulsi Gabbard, the person who tried to get him to avoid this fate the entire time. The one person who kept putting her career on the line to very tactfully and respectfully contradict the things Trump was saying, tell the truth about the intelligence they had about the nuclear bomb in Iran, and contrary to the lies he was being told by Mossad and whatever Israeli handler was whispering in his ear like worm tongue, Tulsi Gabbard is the one who should have been listened to the entire time, and he would have never been in this mess. Instead, he is blaming her somehow for what happened here. Tulsi Gabbard, director of national intelligence, he's reportedly mad at her for failing to condemn Joe Kent, the former counterterror officer, who very publicly tore Trump's rationale for war with Iran into pieces last month. Yeah, I mean, if Trump was serious about saving the country, if he wanted to save the midterms, not let the Democrats come in, then he would be begging Joe Kent to come take a like cabinet position. And he'd be putting Tulsi Gabbard out in the forefront to tell him how to fix this. But he listened to people who got him into this problem, and now he's listening to those very same people for how to solve it, and he's firing the people that tried to get him to avoid it in the first place. But in addition to that, we do have some swamp creatures. We do have some Epstein associates on the list. Howard Lutnick, Commerce Secretary, Trump's toadiest flunky, but his big shot at bathing in the warm glow of the president's approval was the tariff strategy, which he was heavily involved in. The Supreme Court ruling last month means those days are over. Of course, he made a lot of money with it. Lori Chavez de Remer, Secretary of Labor, job numbers have been tanking even after Trump seized control of the Stats Bureau in order to rig them. Cash Patel, Director of the FBI, they say just pick one. Just pick a reason to fire Cash. There's plenty. Number six, they say Trump keeps bragging about committing war crimes. Trump keeps posting on Truth Social, bragging about targeting civilian infrastructure in the Iran conflict. Most recently, he posted, our military, the greatest and most powerful by far anywhere in the world, hasn't even started destroying what's left in Iran. Bridges next, then electrical power plants. New regime leadership knows what has to be done. It has to be done fast. We'll get into the Iranian response to that on the other side. But they are war crimes, and we are targeting civilian infrastructure. And the ultimate upshot of this will be that we are setting a precedent that we will come to regret, that we will rue one day, that will cause blowback attacks to hit us. I explained this a lot yesterday. I don't need to go into it again, but the idea that when we bomb their hospitals sort of opens up the door for them bombing ours. And while we would, if all of the sudden, you know, the Mayo Clinic was bombed by a, you know, tactical nuke smuggled in a suitcase or something, we would feel outraged and horrified and shocked, and it would be traumatic and devastating, and it would probably cause a lot of people to start to support the war. But we would feel outraged and again, just horrified and victimized. And how do you think they feel? Like, how do you think Iran feels? We're bombing their hospitals. I have the feeling that they're all sitting there going, we should bomb their hospitals if it's going to be like this. And the only reason they're not is because they know the American public is against the war. But we're getting set up here. We're getting set up. We are the ones who will experience the blowback. They're bombing hospitals and elementary schools in our name, and we are not stopping them from doing it. So Iran would be justified.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now, here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial. That means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at thealexandstore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. We've taken the info this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over body thing, thealexandstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
Welcome back, folks. We're back. We're back here where we were 5 weeks ago. Only everything's worse. Only we have gained nothing. We've lost a lot, and we're in actually a worse position than we were 5 weeks ago. That's just where we're at. We have not significantly diminished their missile launching capability. We are losing fighter jets and helicopters out of the air over Iran. It appears as though there has been some sort of attempt to make some sort of landing that has been thwarted. At least that's my interpretation from the A-10 Warthog. That would be the people deployed to, you know, clear a landing zone. But if they get shot down, what do you do at that point? It's not going well for them in any possible way. And yet, we were told, I was told over and over and over, that I'm an idiot. I'm so stupid. I just don't understand. I'm so dumb. And you know what's funny? First of all, you'll notice it everywhere. Like, I often bemoan and lament the general stupidity of the wider world. I try not to, but boy, it's hard not to. When it's everywhere and ruining everything. But at the same time, I almost never say that individual people are stupid, because I don't think they are. I'm much more likely to think these people are lying, these people are pretending to be stupid. I don't believe that you get to the top of our government, on the top of our military, as a stupid person. But on X, it seems to be the only argument that the pro-Israeli side has now, is that they can't actually convince you. They don't actually have evidence to support what they believe. They will just condescend at you while also being wrong about what they're saying. It's very frustrating. And I've noticed this cycle that occurs where it's like, I'll say, you know, Iran has not been diminished that much. I'm trying to think of an actual, like, you know, real life example, because there was one recently. Because the way it typically goes is, you know, Iran actually is not destroyed that much. I think Trump is lying. And first it's like, you believe what Iran says? Just like back then it was, you believe what Hamas says? You trust those guys? What do you, you love Hamas? You trust them, those liars? And it's like, well, it's just true. I know it's true, and they're also saying it, but okay. This is how it goes. Oh, you believe them? You believe the enemy? And then I go, no, actually, this is from the New York Times. Oh, you believe the New York Times? Oh, you believe those liars? Actually, it's New York Times quoting an American official. Well, then, I mean, you think that matters? That you're so stupid, right? It's just every time it's like this. Oh, you believe these things? Yeah, they're true. So, you know, well, you can wait a month or two till you find out that it's true. Or you can just listen to me right now. I guess that's your choice. But we are right. And let's go ahead and go to clip number 17 here. This is the latest that Iran has issued. You tell me if they seem defeated and you know, shocked and at the mercy of Trump. Let's watch. He says, should the USA proceed with its threats concerning Iran's power plant facilities, the following retaliatory measures shall be promptly enacted. All power plants, energy infrastructure, and information and communication technology of the Zionist regime and all similar companies within the region that have American shareholders shall face complete and utter annihilation. Nothing stays hidden to our sight, even if it's hidden by Google. Stargate UAE, Abu Dhabi. So, I mean, they're literally just like, yeah, we know where your stuff is. We're gonna destroy it. Now, interestingly, as it goes across these people, you'll notice not a single one of them is a white Anglo-Christian. Not a single one.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at theallisonstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Surrender.
All right, let's go.
This is Harrison Smith on the War Room with live streams firing on X and band.video.
Folks, this is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm going to go now to a little video put together by a user named Black Sheep on X. Roblox Jones. Let's watch.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Do you understand that?
Eternal war against the enemies of freedom. Very, very cool stuff. Very good stuff from Black Sheep there. Of course, Wars of the Info is doing their own Lego renditions of the InfoWars family. But they're not the only ones getting in on the AI Lego creation phenomenon. Unfortunately, Pete Hegseth has been targeted by Iran for propaganda. We can go to this real quick. I haven't played any of these. There's been a lot of these that have come out, and I haven't played any. It's pretty interesting. I mean, this is strange. A brave new world we're in. I mean, think about... What I should have done is gone back and found some of the old propaganda from like World War One. This is actually a fascinating topic. I actually hadn't thought about this yet, but war propaganda is a really fascinating topic to look into. One of the interesting processes that took place in between World War One and World War Two was that in World War One, the propaganda was designed to make the enemy look silly. To degrade them, mock them, and make them look, you know, like a bunch of idiots. And it didn't work very well. It didn't work very well. And they learned that actually what you need to do, and what they did in World War II, was they made the propaganda a lot more scary. And it makes sense, right? You don't want to have your soldiers, you know, and you go to them, just be like, who you're about to fight is so strong, they're so powerful and evil and awful, and it's going to be really hard, like... Yeah, it makes sense. At first you're thinking, no, we want to pump up our soldiers by showing that those dang krauts are nothing but, you know, no good goofballs, and we're going to go, you know, stomp all over them. But what happens when, you know, you're told that the Germans are all a bunch of idiots, and then they wipe out a platoon of yours? It's like, oh, okay, they're not idiots, actually. That all of the propaganda just sort of fades away the instant that it's proven that they're not a bunch of idiots. And so what they learned was that, no, you need the propaganda to scare people. You need to make your enemies look really evil and dangerous and scary, throwing babies against walls, babies on pikes, right? Japanese guys with like sharp monster teeth, like, you know. So it's interesting. As the, you know, psychological manipulators of the world refine their art of manipulating the masses, we've arrived at a point that in a way we're back to the ridicule. We're back to the absurdity. We're back to simply trying to humiliate and denigrate your enemy, because the propaganda now is focused as much on your enemy as on your own people. So while they'll make videos to make, you know, Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump look ridiculous, you know, it's also because they're trying to convince us that they look ridiculous. They're trying to create the chaos in our country that would benefit them. So let's go to this Hegseth Lego Iranian propaganda, if for no other reason than the, you know, academic interest we have in the ever-changing landscape of war propaganda. Let's watch.
Yo, Pete Hegseth, this one's specially for you. You punk-ass rapist bitch, straight from Iran. Your tattoo cover clown with that cafe ink on your arm. Think you a crusader? Nah, just a drunk infidel in a fake uniform. Chain to kill all Muslims, wasted in the hotel lobby. Sexual assault settlement in Monterey. Blocked the door, took a phone, paid her off quiet, cause me too was on. Now you secretary? What a joke, bro.
I don't think they know that rap is supposed to rhyme.
Multiple affairs, kids in the mix, family man, hell no. Handsy with women at Fox, drunk on the job. Your own team say, yo, this dude toxic. Couldn't
even guard Biden's inauguration. I love how it's like, your own military said next. It's such a funny, like mindset they have. You just a failed vet turned TV clown slipping on your own mess. Trump picked you cause you kissed the ring, but wait, funny part ain't coming. Yeah, it doesn't rhyme. It's so funny. For that secretary gig, Trump himself was Bill Clinton's top cocksucker, giving blue jealous back in the day. Real talk, you out here. So again, you know, they're spreading anti-American propaganda referencing the Epstein files there. But I just find it interesting because it's like, it's this weird mix of like kind of lefty stuff where it's like Me Too movement, you harassed women. It's like this is kind of weird for this like big warrior culture, you know, patriarchy to be saying that. While at the same time, they're like, and he is, you know, cheats on his wife. He commits infidelity. It's like, it's just kind of interesting because the left over here would never make a statement about infidelity. They wouldn't care about that type of thing. It's a curious mindset on display there. I just think it's fascinating. And just that's what people around the world are making fun of us for, I guess. I guess you could say. I do want to move on from the Iran war. We're going to come back to it in the third hour because we're going to be joined by Lebanon John, and we're going to get a big overview of everything going on and where we may be going. And we'll be talking about, yeah, these are actually great. Yeah, these propaganda videos are hilarious and like so well done. It's kind of ridiculous. I would watch a full show if they produced something like this. And again, they seem to have it right. Like that's a Chinese one. So there's Chinese AI where you have America represented by the eagle, and they also like represent Israel basically has a squid that sits on the eagle's head and is controlling it. So it's just kind of weird that like our geopolitical enemies are both making propaganda in different instances where they're like claiming that America is being controlled by hostile foreigners and that they're not actually at war with us. They're at war with the same people that we should be at war with, which is interesting. That's an interesting perspective to take that I agree with. Now, I do want to move on, but there's like this one is pretty big deal, I think, from the PalestinianChronicle.com, but it's actually just reporting what The Intercept has reported. Casualty cover-up. The Intercept reveals 750 U.S. troops killed or wounded. Again, something that we ourselves said and have said over and over. If you think only 13 people have died as a consequence of this month-long bombing campaign, you don't understand the world that we're in now. See, the world that we're in now, America acts like Israel. We don't believe the things that we used to believe. We used to believe in transparency and truthfulness. We used to believe in fair dealing and, you know, reciprocal benefits. Now we operate as if we can kill anyone we want for any reason we want. We can lie endlessly about whatever we want. We can abuse our own people. We can sacrifice anybody for any particular reason. We have been morally hollowed out as a consequence of our relationship and subversion by Israel. It's very sad. It actually is sad to see because, you know, we spent a long time in this country creating a system that thrives on honesty, that can operate with as close to total transparency as you can while still recognizing the necessary secrecy involved in, you know, geopolitics and international relations. But still, this was the thing that separated us from everybody else. You think back to the JFK speech where he talks about a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy around the world trying to destroy America. And it was all about the repugnance that our culture feels at the very concept of secrecy, knowing that whatever benefit you get from keeping things secret is always and inevitably outweighed by the damage that's done by keeping things secret. Yeah, it might not go well if you tell everybody that you got a 500 soldiers killed. People are going to be mad at you. Not going to go well. It might feel like a better idea to just keep that secret if you can. Who's going to know, right? Well, first of all, eventually they're going to know, so your secrecy will be seen as a betrayal. But also, if you're able to cover up the disastrous consequences of your policy, then you can continue that policy, and the disastrous consequences can only become more disastrous. And the more disastrous they become, the more necessary it becomes to keep it quiet. And the harder is to keep it quiet. So the more you need to use tyrannical measures to keep it quiet. It's a feedback loop that the founders recognized in 1776 and wrote the First Amendment to avoid. We are abandoning those principles because we've decided to redefine the West as we know it, meaning that we're redefining our foundation, what made us special, what established our mode of thinking and the traditions by which we operate our civilization. These things have all been very, you know, quietly but systematically replaced with just entirely new concepts, utterly divorced from our real history. So maybe now would be a good time to show sort of a two sides of the coin type of thing. The consequences of our failure to uphold our actual foundational principles, morality, worldview, and then show somebody doing a very good job attempting to recapture that. But again, this is all based on the fact that we do seem at this time to be willing to behave, like the United States as a government is willing to behave in ways that are totally anathema to our moral conscience. Because the people in power are doing bad things they don't want us to know about, so they have to hide it and disguise it and frame it as anti-Semitism or whatever other excuse they need to silence it. And you know, it's not a small thing. I mentioned it at the very end there, but before we go to these other videos, I want to go back to clip 17 here. And I don't know, this just kind of struck me as I was watching it. I guess I could go through and find each one of these guys. But the end of this video from Iran, they show like a pan across of all these guys. Half the guys are the Qatari Middle Eastern guys, and the half guys are the American guys. And all the American guys have the American flag under them. I don't think a single one of them is a white American Christian. I don't know about Mark Rowan, but I believe he is Israeli. Huang, not exactly Smith. Altman, Jewish guy. Satya, Indian guy. Solomon, Jewish guy. So it's just kind of like, this isn't America. I mean, the historical American nation was white European Christian. And yet here we are in a war overseas, and you can show a pan across of everybody making deals over there with an American flag on their name, and not one of them is a white Christian? Not one of them. It's not really American. It doesn't feel very American to me. It's Chinese, Zio Chinese is how it feels to me personally. I mean, wouldn't it be kind of weird? Like, wouldn't it seem kind of strange if there was a pan over of all of the big leaders of China and they were all named like Mike Waltz? They're all named Jim Smith, Harry Painter, you know, just like, what? I thought they were all Chinese. I thought this was the Chinese Empire. Why are they all white Christian dudes? You would never see that, obviously, because it's only white Christian countries that have been taken over and replaced. It seems like they replaced the leadership and now they're replacing the actual people. But that just kind of struck me that it's like, okay, Iran hates America, but then the people they're pointing out, not one of them is a white European Christian American. So feels like we're being used a little bit, a lot actually. And so what's the ultimate, result of our willingness to be suckers, of our endless gullibility when it comes to the lies of scammers and crooks and infiltrators? Yeah, Apple, Google, Microsoft, have at them, boys. Have fun with that, Iran. Iran threatens to start attacking major U.S. firms on April 1st. Yeah, have fun. Enjoy yourself. Won't affect me in a negative way. So the ultimate outcome, the ultimate result of this usurpation, willing usurpation in many cases, we gave up our willingness to just have a country, results in something like this. This is clip number 5. This is an ad for a congressional candidate in New Jersey. So this is the official campaign ad for what could very well be our next American congressman. Let's watch.
आपको पता है हम देसी कम्युनिटी न्यू जर्सी के सबसे बड़े कम्युनिटीज में से एक हैं। मेरा नाम जय वांगनकर है और मैं जून 2nd को कांग्रेस के लिए इलेक्शन लड़ रहा हूँ। लेकिन बहुत सालों से हमारी देसी वॉइसेस पॉलिटिक्स में फुली रिप्रेजेंट नहीं हुई हैं। अब वक्त आ गया है कि हमारी आवाज सच में सुनी जाए, इसलिए मैं कांग्रेस के लिए इलेक्शन लड़ रहा हूँ।
Don't worry, folks, you are not having a stroke. Even though you may have felt like you're having a stroke. No, that was a congressional campaign ad for a guy in New Jersey, the state in America, not speaking English. I was going to say not a single word of English, but there were like 4 or 5 words of English in there. I think this is a problem. I think this is actually a giant problem. How has it gotten this bad? We have Congress members running in America not even speaking English, not even trying to appeal to English speakers in America, appealing only and exclusively to his ethnic group, which apparently has a sizable enough population in his district that that's a viable strategy. Yeah, this is a problem. This is like a gigantic existential problem. Luckily, I know a great friend and commentator who understands this like I do. Kevin Deanna, friend of the show, been on before. Here's a little clip from his show. Clip 24 first. Kevin Deanna on an important message to Americans on what are American values. Let's watch.
Now, of course, what does he mean by American values? Where did those American values come from? What year were they invented? I mean, what are we dealing with right now? We've got the Asian lawyer from the ACLU and Ketanji Brown Jackson wondering what the founders meant. I mean, does anyone else see the absurdity here? So like Chinese birth tourists and every Mayan in some Central American jungle can crawl in here and say they're just as American as we are? We all know what's going on here, and so do they. This whole thing is a farce. What are these American values? Because if we actually want to go to the founding generation, you want to talk about American values? Those values were religious fanaticism, white nationalism, race war for land acquisition, and a determination to shoot anyone who says you have to pay your taxes. There's your American values. I mean, this country was founded by racist smugglers, frontier warlords, land speculators, and plantation owners pretending to be Romans. And that's why it's the greatest country in the world.
Can't say I disagree. In fact, let's hear that again, shall we? Let's go to clip 32 here. Tell us again, who founded America exactly?
There's your American values. I mean, this country was founded by racist smugglers, frontier warlords, land speculators, and plantation owners pretending to be Romans. And that's why it's the greatest country in the world.
Anybody else feel goosebumps? Anybody else getting goosebumps for some reason? I love it. You love to see it. And again, I think the most important part of what he just said was, we know it and they know it. That I think is important to understand. Every once in a while, you'll hear somebody, you know, actually say it. There's a tweet that goes viral every once in a while, an Indian guy who's moved to Canada. And he says, very simply, we're going to keep moving in here. We're going to outnumber you soon. And then it will be a matter of a single vote to kick out all of you white invaders. And it's like, okay, here's one Indian guy out of what, 25 billion? How many of them are there? But there's at least one, meaning there's probably more than one. And I want to almost like go out with that tweet printed out and like show that to liberals and be like, but what do you do about this? But what do you do about this? I mean, you can't ignore this. You can't just pretend this doesn't exist. You have people moving in who are very clearly motivated by hatred of you, by a desire to not just like replace you, but like hurt you, like take your stuff, punish you for existing, take your country, humiliate you. And their entire lives and the entire world media encourages them that this is a good thing, that they're actually acting on the side of righteousness and good, to come in as an invited guest with a secret plan to steal your host's home. It's sick and it's wrong, and we have to stand up against it. And if the thing stopping us from standing up against it is that we're being called racist, it's time to get over that. It's almost one of those, like IQ charts, the midwit chart, where the dumb guy and the smart guy think the same thing, but the midwit believes the bull crap. It's kind of like, you know, the midwit's the ones going, no, the founding fathers were egalitarian. And it's like, ah, no, I think they were actually like really racist, actually. Actually, I think that was like really a fundamental aspect of their thought process. And guess what? That's not a bad thing, because that's literally the same case for every other race of people for all of time. Okay? It's fine. It's fine to protect yourself. It's fine to want your country to remain your country. It's fine to deny the lies of foreigners that want to infiltrate and steal your stuff by playing on your pity and your covert inverted white supremacy that makes you think you don't need protection, and you're white, so you don't want to make the non-white people feel bad by talking about being white. Stop it. Stop. You got to stop being idiots. You got to stop falling for stuff. You got to understand, some dude comes here from a foreign country and makes a campaign video for Congress in his own language. That's an act of usurpation.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors, because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research, and then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like
crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bolivine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time, so all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything, thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com.
For as long as I've been an InfoWarrior, 18 years, and Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives, like you do, and I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone. Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone.
First in my scope is BAE Systems. Specialize in killing people from a distance. Power is a drug and they feed the addiction. Immediate deletion of people's existence. Who says what isn't legitimate resistance? To push these buttons, you don't need a brave heart. State of the art darts leave more than your face scarred. You might impress an A&R with your fake bars. Cause you probably think Rolls Royce only make cars. This is for the
colonizers. He's doing the song that you're hearing right now. That is just as relevant as it ever was, folks. Written, of course, during the Iraq War, but what is old is new. We're here again, folks. We're going to be joined by Lebanon John in the next hour. We're going to get back into the Iran war. We may take your calls as well. We did that a couple years ago at the very beginning of the war by Israel against Gaza, and we got some great content out of that. We had some very interesting callers, and we might do that again. Or we may just get an update as to what exactly is going on in the Middle East and where things stand strategically. And we're also going to get into how Turkey plays into all of this. And actually, I'm going to get into some, to the data center stuff here in just a second. But there's another phenomenon. Earlier I talked about how online the pro-Israeli people are just resorting to calling everybody stupid. And it's not working very well. And one of the main strategies is source discrediting, right? Oh, you got that from Iran. You believe them. And it's so funny because it's stuff like the attack on the school, right? And they're like, you believe what Iran said? It's like Pete Hegseth admitted that this was the case. But it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So that's one of the strategies that's often used. The other, and it's hard to kind of explain this, but you'll already know it if you're a conspiracy theorist, because this is kind of a regular thing that's always happened. And it's that sometimes reality really is so ridiculous that people won't believe you on the basis of how ridiculous it is. So, like I said, something about, you know, maybe Trump wants to leave NATO because they're gearing up to make Turkey the next
enemy.
Hello, the next enemy.
The old rich will be coming in and interrupting. I want to tell you.
It's been a while.
I was already shooting a video on this when I saw your headline. This is the Battle of Kirk Island. I believe that A-10 being shot down over that. I said a week ago, they use A-10s there. That means they're going in. We need to pray that Trump pulls back. I think we're launching an invasion of the Strait of Hormuz for the islands this weekend. This is really bad news. We'd heard they were going to do it Friday. They wouldn't send A-10s in to solving things up unless that was the case. I want to say pray for peace, folks. It looks bad.
Absolutely. Amen. Alex Jones, everybody. But this is one of the things. Or the other one I'll get is people say, oh, why aren't you're freaking out about the red heifer thing. And it's like, I'm not the one saying the red heifer thing. They're the one saying it. We have Naftali Bennett, the former prime minister of Israel, saying that Turkey is the next target. So it happens over and over where you just repeat what they're saying and then people act like you're the crazy one. Well, you're obsessed with this. They're going to have the red heifer and they're going to remake the temple to bring about the Messiah. And it's like that Benjamin Netanyahu gave a speech saying that, not me. You think it's ridiculous? Take it up with him. I just take him seriously. I take Naftali Bennett seriously when they say this, especially when the geopolitical construct of the world shifts in accordance with what they're saying. When Trump is threatening to leave NATO, I really think that they operate on timetables that are years in advance. They're seeding the ground for this war to not just continue forever in Iran, but to expand to Turkey and maybe then to expand to the rest of Europe as more and more Muslim refugees get into Europe and they take more and more power and eventually vote themselves into Sharia law. Suddenly they'll be the big terrorist Muslim threat that we have to go after, because the war that we are now in, that I would contend has been going on for probably 10 years or more at this point, considering the fact that you have the civil war in Syria that comes after the Arab Spring that Russia's involved in, and you've got the sort of proxy war going on in Syria for like 15 years, actually, which has been going on forever the whole time. And I mean, we're in World War III, and we've been in World War III for a long time. I guess it's up to the future historians to look back and determine exactly where it began. But certainly it has begun, and it began a long time ago. Where it goes from here is still up to us. And, you know, again, we're looking at all these different signals that we're getting, many that are contradictory or out of step and out of line with what we've heard before. Again, the fact that Susie Wiles goes on mainstream media and says, yeah, Trump is being given a rose-colored view of the conflict, and I had to tell his advisors to just give him the truth and not, you know, change what they're saying to make him happy. Like, that's crazy. That's a very big deal. Joe Kent quitting is like the biggest deal ever. That's huge. Pete Hegseth firing all these generals, and the assumption is that's because they weren't yes men. They weren't going to go along with what is probably a giant invasion of Iran. An invasion of Iran, by the way, that Trump has apparently been planning since the 80s. And I'm going to wait to get in. I'm going to wait for Lebanon John to really get into this, because he and I were talking about it earlier today. And we're thinking maybe that's part of the problem, is that like Trump actually, I mean, he gives interviews, and all of the crew pull in the Barbara Waters interview from the 80s where Trump is talking about Iran. And he's talking about we can go in and take their oil and we can take over the coast and be this giant injection of cash into the American economy. And it's like, okay, did he come up with this plan in the 1980s and never changed it, never updated it? Is still operating on assumptions that he made 40, 50 years ago? Is that possibly part of why this boondoggle has been carried out under Trump? And was this the reason that Trump was even supported in the first place by some of the Israeli influence networks here in America? Because they obviously were very, very, very upset with the JCPOA, the nuclear agreement that Obama made. And they really wanted it taken down. That was one of the first things that Trump did when he became president. And it's not unlikely that that was a bargain. Hey, you support me, get me into office, I will get rid of the JCPOA. And if you watch The Lobby, the documentary made by Al Jazeera about the Israeli lobby here in America, they made one in the UK as well. Yeah. Go ahead and pull this one in for when John's on, because we'll want to reference this. Because it's important to understand. Because, this shapes Trump's thinking and like where we are, what the purpose of all of this is. And it may be that the plan he came up with in the 1980s, he's still running with while Iran has made 40 years of advancement and been ready for this for so long. We don't know. We just don't know. But we do know the, you know, consequences of everything else we've done in the Middle East in this world war that's been going on for 15 years. Of course, the president of Syria is, I believe, still in Europe, being celebrated and honored with the red carpet rolled out. Meanwhile, drugged, raped, and impregnated Alawite women recount kidnappings in the new Syria. Abductions of women and girls from Syria's Alawite minority are, quote, more common and more brutal than Syria extremist-led government has acknowledged, a New York Times investigation published April 3rd has found. In November, the Syrian government, led by former ISIS commander Ahmed al-Shara, denied that Alawite women and girls are being abducted, claiming that dozens and dozens of cases, they had just run away from home to be with lovers. However, Syrian activists confirmed the details of nearly 100 Alawite girls who had been abducted, including many who were taken following the government's massacre of at least 1,600 Alawite civilians in March 2025. So again, you don't even need our speculation. You don't need us to look at Iran and go, here's what will happen in the future. Just look at Syria. Syria was not an enemy of ours. It was not a threat to us. They also didn't have nuclear weapons or, you know, anything that they used to justify the attacks on Iran. None of it existed for Syria. Syria was not a Western country. It was not a democracy by any means. Of course, it's not one now. That didn't seem to matter, actually. It turns out that it doesn't really matter to the people in power if you are a monarchist, authoritarian, you know, tyranny, like our best friends, the Saudis, or a clerical construct of government like the Iranians. That's not the thing that they care about. Bashar al-Assad is no less or more of a democratic leader than al-Shara is. Al-Shara didn't usher in a utopian globalist vision of diversity, the exact opposite. Massacres against minority populations of Christians, Alawites, Druze, kidnapping girls from these minority sects to both psychologically and physically terrorize these minority populations. What is the argument for this? Like, can anybody out there, and there are thousands of people out there who spent 10 years desperately advocating for America to get involved and go oust Bashar al-Assad, is this the outcome that was desired? He was an eye doctor who lived in England most of his life. And if you see the images, I mean, look at a picture of Bashar al-Assad and his wife. She's beautiful. She's glamorous. She's wearing something you would see, you know, a woman from the Kennedy clan wear. Like, she's classy. She looks Western. She looks like somebody you'd see walking around the streets of Paris. Meanwhile, al-Shara, you can't even find a picture of him with his wife because every time there is one, she's standing 10 feet away from him and a little bit behind him and dressed head to toe in black robes. So it's like, okay, we replaced the Western guy with the ISIS terrorist. And this was on purpose. And this was the design. And this was the desired outcome of the people who did it. That's the argument right there. Explain it to me. So there's Bashar al-Assad, you know, murderous dictator. There's al-Shara, freedom fighter. mean, it's ridiculous. We literally replaced a dude that looks like what he is, a Western eye doctor, with a guy that looks like what he is, a ISIS barbarian. And we're told this is progress, this is good, this is good for who? Not Christians, not Americans, not the minorities in Syria, not the majorities in Syria. Definitely not the women in Syria. Thank you, crew. Very good point. It's not even a laughing matter, but yeah, seriously, the women in Syria too. But we got to go to war with Iran because we want more of this, I guess. We could still back out right now. Right now. Iran 1953, MI6 plots with Islamist to overthrow democracy. Declassified British files highlight a little-known aspect of the joint MI6-CIA coup against Iran's democratically elected government in August 1953, UK covert action in support of leading radical Shia Islamist, the predecessor of Ayatollah Khomeini. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to get back to the Iran war. There is some other stuff that I do need to cover. A bunch of videos actually come out sort of about the same topic. But I want to ask. Yeah, I'm going to go to data centers here. We are building at this moment in America no less than 3,000 data centers. 3,000. I looked it up yesterday. Couldn't believe it. The question is why? What are they going to do? There's a lot of talk about data centers. I haven't heard a single reason they need to be built. Why they need to be built by the thousands. What is this going to do for Americans? I honestly want to know. Do we really need 3,000 server farms that are bigger than you can possibly imagine? In fact, crew, go into yesterday's folder. There's a video about the farmland in Florida that's being taken over for the new Meta data bank. It's like unbelievable. The person's driving for like 5 minutes and it's just all of this farmland is going to be turned into a server farm. Yeah, there's 405 operating in Texas, 442 being built. Is it going to improve your life? Is your life suffering from a lack of computational power right now? Is it worth it? Because the question isn't, you know, these aren't small things. These data centers require like billions and billions of gallons of fresh water. They require acres and acres and acres of farmland. They require billions upon billions of dollars. They require so much energy, it's like impossible to even describe. One data center, a super data center in Ohio, requires as much energy as 9 nuclear reactors. So think about all of the resources that we are and plan to pour into data centers. All of the fresh water, all of the land, these are things that we shouldn't be wasting, all of the energy, more energy than our cities currently use. All of this investment, all of these resources being poured into data centers, how is it going to improve your life? What is it going to be used for? Can you tell me? Can anybody tell me? It seems like right now we've got plenty of computational power to handle 99.9999999% of technological necessity. What is the point of these? Why are we spending so, I mean, would you not rather have like a brand new airport? Would it not benefit you to have like your roads repaved and your elementary school refurbished? Why are we dedicating so much to these data centers? What are we doing it for? It's all for AI, but like I can't even figure out what the purpose of that would be. Obviously, we have plenty of computational power right now. I mean, yesterday I was doing research with AI. I had every type of AI open. I'm searching in Claude and Gemini and Grok and all these other, all totally free. Doesn't seem like there's like a big crunch of computational power if I can be operating 10 of these systems at once and not pay a cent for it. Seems like there's plenty out there. It's like, no, we need more to do more. To what? Create more AI abomination images? Like, what are we talking about? All of this is, I don't really want you to answer. I know the answer. The answer is they're building the prison around us. That's what this will be used for. It's the only thing this stuff could be used for. It's the only reason you would have to build thousands of data centers right now. It's not that we're just, you need somewhere to keep all of our photos and we're constantly all running out of iCloud space like that. It's not for us. It's to enslave us. And it's our money and it's our resources and it's our fresh drinking water that's going towards it, but it is entirely and completely the infrastructure of control. That's all this is for. So we'll go to a few of these because again, it's not like this is some brilliant upgrade where it's like, oh, we're spending billions of dollars and all this, groundwater on, we're getting rid of the coal power plants and replacing with nuclear and we'll never have to get coal ever again and they'll run forever and power everybody and electricity will be free. It's like, okay, then I can understand the resource dedication to something like that. We're going to pour all of these resources into all of these data centers and it's only going to make our life worse. Do you understand what a big deal this is? So I don't, which one should we go to first? Let's go to clip 33 first because this is just another side effect. Like, you know, the main threat of this is that it's literally the prison walls being built around you. And the side effects are your electricity bill going up and, you know, literally a digital panopticon being erected so they can know everything about you at every second of the day and to surveil and censor and control you. That's like the real big threat. But along with this come a whole host of other minor inconveniences. Let's watch. This is the noise you're hearing from the data center in Michigan. Pleasant, isn't it? One resident says the noise has made him unable to open his windows in the summer, and he's worried what that will do to his property value. The company, Hyperscale Data, is planning to expand.
We have the summertime, like I said, we like to have our windows open, and it's hard to listen to that all the time. Yeah, I worry about that, the property values, because if we want to resell the house, who's going to want to buy the house with that noise? No one's going to want to buy it. They'll be like, no, we ain't moving there. I mean, you know, and
so I think I can't even stand to listen to the video of it. But think about that. The guy's like, yeah, no one's going to buy my house now. Not only like it's lowering my house value, like it might have lowered it to zero. You think they're going to pay for it? You think the data centers with the trillions of dollars on hand will be able to spare the, you know, $200,000 this dude's property is worth? Probably not. No, they'll just destroy your life, destroy your neighborhood. Take all of your tax dollars and your groundwater and your electricity so they can inconvenience and enslave you. You know, same thing like some of the Major League Baseball stadiums now. They got rid of concession stands. Now there's just big vending machines with touchscreen, you know, operation. But the beer still costs $20 a pop. $20 a can for beer. You'd think you fired all these people. You're saving all of your major costs for running this operation. You'd think maybe you'd pass some of that down onto the consumer, especially since now we're taking on the labor and burden of doing the work that your cashier used to do. We check ourselves out now. But the price only stays up. That's the data center mindset in total. They will ruin your property, take all of your resources, and then at the end of the day, you don't even benefit. You don't get anything from it. Nothing about your life improves in the slightest from all of these inconveniences. That's the deal we're making. You give us all of the most precious resources in the world at a time when the country is collapsing and, you know, everything's failing. We're going to dedicate infinite resources to building these things. And in return, your life just gets worse in every possible way. thanks, guys. Thanks for the deal we've made. Let's go to that Florida video so we can see just how much land is being given over to these data centers so they can build our prison.
I'm taking this video so that people can understand, like, this is the video prior to the video. This is the farmland that you're driving through until you come to the AI data center. Like, it is nothing but just super rural homes, beautiful homes. Like, we're rural, very rural. And then, like, just to give you an idea, so, like, that's literally just so rural. And then here we go. We're about to pull up on it. You can start to see the lights from back here. It's so intrusive because you're just, it's literally like 30 plus miles, maybe more, of nothing but just beautiful rural farmland.
So again, this is a woman in Florida, Atalia Blooms on TikTok, I believe, maybe Instagram. And she's just, she's driving out. Well, anyway, it goes on. She just drives past field after field after field, and it's all been demolished to create these massive data centers that just go on forever and ever and ever. And again, I ask you, for what? For what? Not anything that's going to benefit you. So we can go to this video. So many people showed up to oppose these data centers in, I believe this was Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. They had to bring out the bleachers, and yet they passed it anyway. This vote is the latest in a series of incidents between city officials and residents who opposed the data center proposal. CRG, the data center arm of the area developer Clayco, hopes to build the data center on Highway 67. And so you have all of these people come out to oppose this, to stand up against this, and then they pass it anyway. They pass it anyway. The whole community is saying no. You could go one by one and ask them. You'd get 99% of the people saying, no, we don't want that here. Guess what? You're getting it anyway. All right? You're going to pay for it, and your electricity bill is going to go up, and your well is going to go dry. And at the end of all of it, the only benefit that could possibly come from it is that a bunch of psychotic tyrants control your information. Great. Data centers. Screw them. You should burn nothing.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now, here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial. That means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at thealexandstore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. We've taken the InfoWar this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over body thing, thealexandstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
Third hour of the War Room is on. We'll be joined shortly by Lebanon John. Get back into exactly what has developed in the Middle East region these days. But I want to go to a couple of videos gone totally viral as of yesterday. They are comedian Theo Von on Joe Rogan's podcast, where he expressed what I think a lot of us are feeling. And Joe was having none of it. It was very disappointing to see. Well, we'll go to the real viral one in just a second. Let's start with clip number 23 here. This was another one. They say Joe Rogan started panicking a little bit when Theo Von made this very normal joke. Let's go to clip 23.
And even Bill Clinton said that about Netanyahu. Bill Clinton said Netanyahu wants war so he can stay in power.
For sure, dude. People call him the Yarmulke Hitler. That's what they call
him. Who are these people?
Everybody does.
Which people?
Countless.
On, people?
Huh?
What are you saying?
What do you mean, people? You're talking about...
What are you talking about,
black
dog?
Folks? What
no!
are you saying?
I don't know what you're saying.
I don't know what you're saying.
I don't know what you're saying.
Okay.
Let's not draw conclusions.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
He seems like a great guy.
No, really.
Well, it's just a scary time.
It's a scary time because people are willing to blow people up with fucking drones and missiles, and they're shooting into apartment buildings and blowing up schools, and it's like, fuck, man.
And we didn't hear...
So what's the problem with calling him Yarmulke Hitler? What's the problem? Joe's scared, man. Joe's afraid. I'm kind of afraid to even say this because last time I talked about a public figure being afraid of Israel, they were murdered. So I think I'm seeing it again. Joe Rogan is clearly very scared and hypersensitive of these things, which doesn't make any sense. He literally says Netanyahu is crazy. He wants war. Even Bill Clinton wants war. Later, he goes on to say, yeah, they're bombing schools and hospitals. This is crazy. But then Theo Von's like, yeah, people call him Yarmulke Hitler. I'm like, who calls him that? And this is a well-known thing with Rogan. Even though he's a comedian, he doesn't always get jokes. It's kind of more often that he doesn't understand jokes. Like he doesn't get that people are joking. It's very kind of weird. Theo Von's clearly joking. They call him Yarmulke Hitler. The correct response to that is to laugh. Yarmulke Hitler, that's kind of funny. I don't know. It's just kind of a silly thing to say. Everyone's like, who calls him that? I was like, I don't know. People, what? This is weird. Why would he be so sensitive about that? Why would he get so nervous about Yarmulke Hitler? He's Jewish, right? Benjamin Netanyahu, prime minister of Israel. I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'll check. I'm pretty sure he's Jewish. Was that the problem? Pointing that out? Not the thing that where he's acting like Hitler. I mean, you don't want to offend Hitler, obviously. I mean, obviously you don't want to be too offensive to the guy that you agree is basically Hitler. What? Why are you so sensitive? That was where he sort of first gets a little wonky. But here's the clip that went totally viral. It's Theo Von just expressing very normal thoughts that I think most people have these days. Let's watch.
It's all just a cat and mouse game. People are like, we'll elect the Democrats next time. It's like, but it's all the same has been happening forever. They haven't been helping anybody forever. They're letting politicians slurp on kids. All of our money goes to Israel and they're using it to fucking genocide people. It's like everybody is scared out of their wits right now. It's like our religious leaders are afraid to speak out. And it's like it's a time where it's like Satan is amongst us and our religious leaders are fucking talking about both. The poll, it's just like, what is going, I don't know, man.
We gotta get you up with an antidepressant, son. You're losing your marbles.
You think I am?
Come hang out with us. Just chill
out. I'm here.
I guess that was like the most disrespectful response from Joe Rogan. I would have been pissed if I was Theo Von, to be honest with you. That's the most disrespectful thing you could possibly say. Just completely disregarding everything he says. He's exactly right. What the hell is he wrong about? Everything he said there was true. Everything he said there was absolutely verifiably true, and he's saying it with passion and intensity. That's not what happens when you're on antidepressants. When you're on antidepressants, you don't care. Sounds like Joe Rogan's on the antidepressants. Yeah, man, everybody's evil, but like, just chill, man. It's like, fine. Like, no, it's not fine. No, Theo Von is right, and you're wrong for saying we got to get you off antidepressants. You're flipping out. No, he's clear-eyed and seeing the world for exactly what it is, and he has the righteous fury that's needed in these times. Try to dampen that. The hell.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it.
This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue. I just can't shut up about it. Up about it.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. I guess we have another video. I was missing a clip. We got another clip of Joe Rogan. I didn't even realize, which is good. We're waiting on Lebanon John to connect. Hopefully he does. He's kind of hard to get a hold of sometimes. That's all right. We got plenty to talk about, plenty to show you, and I do plan on taking your calls this hour. But I want to go to clip number 11 here. Is this censored? We might need to censor this. Guys, make sure clip 11 is censored, and we'll go to that. In the meantime, I'm sorry. I know we're jumping back and forth here, but I want to play a few more videos having to do with the data centers. So let's go to this Wall Street Apes video. I think it's clip number 36. Three top leaders in Lackawanna County have now been removed from their posts because, and I think that this was a different place in the video that we just saw. But this is the thing: it's literally happening everywhere. They're building data centers. The citizens are going to their town council meetings saying we don't want the data centers here, but then they're getting the data centers anyway because the data centers come along with millions and millions of dollars worth of investment into the community that the city council members would like to tax in order to fund their projects. So they're willing to sell out their own towns to, you know, pay for subsidies for foreigners, probably, if I had to guess, where our tax money goes. Never to us. It's always to these projects. And again, you just think about the data centers and like the fact that they're probably being built by foreign labor anyway. Just literally none of this benefits Americans, even in the slightest. But all over the country, these big data centers are being built. People are outraged. City councilors don't care and are doing it anyway. And some of them are paying the price. Let's watch.
Evening, everyone. I'm Nick Toma.
I'm Candace Kelly. An unexpected turn of events at a borough council meeting in Lackawanna County tonight.
Members of the council were voted out of their positions for their handling of data center proposals. 2822's Avery Nape walks us through what's changing tonight and what the community is saying about it.
Three members of Archbold Council were ousted tonight after months of pleas from the community to reshape the borough's government and the old council's handling of data centers. Former council president Dave Moran, vice president Richard Gooman, and president pro tempore Marie Andrioli. A surprise vote Wednesday stripped the three of their leadership. The vote stems from months of pushback from members of the community, many of whom felt they were going easy on data center developers. Council member and new president pro tempore Aaron Owens initiated the vote, but others back to reasoning.
I believe our government right now is fractured, it's broken, and I pray that it could be fixed.
The vote was unanimous. One woman we spoke with after the meeting, like others, couldn't believe it happened after this long.
My jaw dropped. I didn't even know what was fully happening as it was happening. I'm so grateful for it, but I'm blown away that this actually happened tonight. I was not anticipating this.
Inside the meeting, some people took to the podium to lay into the old leadership.
You failed us. You failed us when you left six data center campuses and now a natural gas plant forcing their way into a peaceful community.
You have presided over numerous meetings scolding residents like children when they voiced their frustrations that were of your making.
People showed up ahead of the meeting selling signs and t-shirts to oppose the now six proposed sites throughout the small borough. While the pressure is on for the new leadership, Bednash says she's hopeful they can turn things around.
It's just another step in a positive direction to be able to put some more protections in place for the residents and just make sure that our safety is the number one priority.
People living here are hopeful that the change is a step in the right direction, but say that the fight against data centers in Archbold is far from over. In Archbold, Avery Knape, 2822 News.
In fact, a conditional use hearing for a data center proposal will be taking place at Valley View High School tomorrow at 5 p.m. A petition to remove other members of the borough's government will be available for signing outside the school before the hearing.
All right, so there you go. Some community action, which is kind of unfair. Like, it shouldn't be on Americans to like constantly having to be defending ourselves against the encroachment of these scumbags. We really need a holistic change. I feel like this... it's gone on too long at this point. Now, I understand we have a brand new report from Alex Jones himself. This is a update to one of the aircraft downed by Iran today, the A-10 Warthog. This is a infantry support aircraft, meaning it's not used for big, long bombing runs or aerial dogfighting. Usually it's used to, you know, kill infantry troops, so that your infantry troops can move in, which hints that this A-10 Warthog being downed probably means we're about to do a big ground invasion ourselves. Here's Alex Jones with the report.
As you know, an F-15 has been shot down and now an A-10 Warthog. And the A-10 Warthog was shot down over the Strait of Hormuz on the Iranian side. Those are the first planes they're going to send in to soften up the defenses before a U.S. invasion of Krog Island or other areas, which Trump has been advised against. The Pentagon told him, the head of the Army who they just fired, the chairman of Joint Chiefs who they haven't fired yet, so many others, Eric Prince, not doves, hawks, but said, don't try a full invasion of Iran. Don't attack Iran, period. And the fact that that Warthog is confirmed to have been shot down, they're trying to find the pilots in the ocean there, is a really bad sign, because I said weeks ago, if you see the A-10s going in, that means ground invasion. So we had sources a week ago, and I don't know if they were accurate, from inside the Pentagon, but also strippers and people saying, the troops are telling them it was all going to start on Good Friday. That's today. I hope that's wrong. And again, I'm saying all this about Trump, not because I'm a Qatari or Iranian agent, like these Israeli operatives are saying, with no evidence. It's because I don't want Trump to get us in a quagmire and have his agenda destroyed. And again, it just came out that, I knew this years ago, but there's even more documents, that Salem Radio is owned by the Israeli government. And all these talk show hosts attacking Tucker as a Qatari agent are literally on the Israeli payroll. I mean, Israel's openly running our foreign policy. And I don't even hate Israel. I just want Israel running our country and getting us into forever wars. This is crazy. So I pray for the A-10 pilots and just everybody, because if there is a ground invasion, it's going to be so bad. This looks like it started. Hopefully, this is a wake-up call for Trump, because we're like the Martians attacking, you know, Earth when it's from 50,000 foot. But once it gets up close with close air support, the Iranians got a lot of weapons. And if this is a ground invasion, this is just the start. So I pray for sanity, I pray for President Trump, and I pray for peace, because this is such a serious situation. Iran, it's not Iraq or Afghanistan. It is far worse, and that's the facts. I'll be following reports with Alex Jones on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble throughout the weekend, and obviously Sunday show, 4 to 6 p.m., so join us then. Have a wonderful Easter, and God bless you all, and God bless our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, God, for sending your son to die and be risen again for our sins. Thank you so much, God.
There you go. That report from Alex Jones. You can find on his X at Real Alex Jones. Make sure you are following us on X at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live, at InfoWars. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. And make sure you're following us, because, you know, we're sort of, you know, in a danger zone right now, because if you've been watching Alex, you know, they basically stopped paying our bills. It's not up to us. People in power stopped paying our bills with our money. And so we're just waiting for something to happen, for the next shoe to drop. We don't know what it's going to be. Regardless, we are going to continue the fight. We are going to continue to operate no matter what, and in whatever form that comes next. And but it's going to be big. It's going to be big. We have been, you know, simmering like a pot for feels like 10 years at this point under this bankruptcy lawsuit. We will soon be out from under the wet blanket, rebirthed like a phoenix, and we're going to be bigger than ever before. I know I bragged about it a little bit yesterday, but like the establishment so-called alternative media is failing in every way. Ben Shapiro's numbers are collapsing. Mark Levin's numbers are non-existent. Nobody is listening to these people. They're propped up. They're artificially inflated. We are the real deal. And if you want to support us, you got to go to thealexjonesstore.com. We make it so easy for you to do it. We have just incredible products, including just the merchandise, the merch, the shirts, the hats. We have a brand new collection available now, the new InfoWars 1776 limited edition collection. There's limited quality, quantities, and unlimited quality. Let me clarify, absolutely unlimited, superlative quality on these things. I'm not even joking about that. We really do have, like, I still wear a shirt that I bought from InfoWars before I even worked here. So, like, these things last forever. Absolutely fantastic quality. Incredible design. All the designs are incredible. The 1776 limited edition collection. Limited because there's limited quantity of the shirts and hats available, but also because InfoWars might not be here for that long. You're going to want to probably get the merchandise now while you can, knowing that it contributes to our next phase of operation. And you know, maybe it'll be a collector's item that you can sell in the future when InfoWars is ascended to legend status. And with that, I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Lebanon John. You can follow him on X at Lebanon_John. And of course, he and I do a show called Moonbase Live. You can follow that on Rumble, rumble.com/C/Moonbase Live. You can just search Moonbase Live or go to X at Moonbase Live. Lebanon John, thanks so much for calling in.
Yes, right. Sir. Thanks for having me. How y'all doing?
Hey, very, very good. Thank you. It's been a little while, but, you know, and by the way, if you guys want to know what's happening in the Middle East, search Lebanon John on my X feed or on our Bandai video show. You can go back. John has been regularly updating us about the Middle East for the last 5 or 6 years since I started doing the American Journal. And we've basically been dead on about everything, all the predictions, all the analysis, better than you can find anywhere else by miles. And I'm not just saying that. It's like, go back and look for yourself. You'll see that I'm being accurate. However, we're not always exactly, you know, dead on. And sometimes things take longer than we expected. Like, we always knew that October 7th and the war in Gaza would eventually lead to war in Iran. I expected it to happen a lot quicker, but here we are 2.5 years later. It's finally come about. John, just give us the latest as to what has developed in the last 24 or 48 hours or so.
Yeah, it's been a big 24 hours. It all kind of started with a F-15 being shot down, and, you know, usually the pilot will eject and there's a GPS tracker in that chair. And so it shouldn't be hard to figure out where he is unless it's just completely blown to smithereens, but no one could, I mean, that's not really usual. And so this F-15 pilot got shot down in Iran, and then the search and rescue operation that the United States military deployed to recover him, dead or alive, no one really knows. It appears that they don't know exactly where he is. It's a wide area that they're searching. They're kind of combing the area. They're deploying Warthog, low-flying, low-speed, propeller-driven, like Vietnam War era A-10 Warthog planes. They're deploying Black Hawk helicopters. And this is because they don't know where this pilot is. And I guess Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump don't want to leave this guy, you know, abandoned behind enemy lines. Which is a commendable decision as far as, you know, not leaving anybody behind. But from a military standpoint, Black Hawk helicopters, low-flying propeller airplanes over a place full of missiles, it makes no sense. And so they're searching all over, and they can't find them. Next thing you know, we're 5 or 6 planes shot down in the last 24 hours now. Black Hawks, A-10 Warthog on video. Blown up in the air in Iran. Other jets, it's just gotten from bad to worse really fast in the last 24 hours. And again, totally predictable, right? I mean, the A-10 Warthog is only, effective in history against essentially, infantry who have no means to, you know, engage an airplane. And, you know, it's a cool airplane. It can deliver like one bullet per square inch for like, you know, a huge amount of space, like in an insane amount of time. Like it's a flying gunship. It is a really cool piece of equipment, no doubt about it, but you don't deploy it, against people who have guided, man pads, you know, man portable shoulder mounted, heat seeking anti-air weapons. And of course Iran has that. Iran has much more than that. And so it's like, I don't know if they're drinking their own Kool-Aid or if they're just totally incompetent over at the highest levels of the Pentagon, or if they just can't accept leaving one pilot behind. But now there's going to be multiple pilots dead or captured as a consequence of refusing to leave that one pilot behind. And again, I'm not saying we should have left that pilot behind, but you know, you definitely don't deploy Black Hawk helicopters and A-10 Warthog planes over Iran. I mean, something is going on. Like, and they just fired the three top generals. So it's really confusing. They didn't give any reason officially, as far as I can tell. So it's, you know, Pete Hegseth should know better, because when you see him talking in other scenarios, you know, he's like a war geek kind of guy. He definitely knows about American equipment. And that's the video right there. This is an A-10 Warthog apparently being completely obliterated, and there's not going to be any survivors on this one. And that plane can have five or six people on it usually. And then, you know, they're claiming that they did rescue a pilot, and, you know, I hope they did, but, you know, they probably lost 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 pilots to rescue this one pilot. So it's just getting completely out of control. And then, well, everyone, you could predict what's going to happen in the media next, where they're going to be running all these headlines saying, so Iran's air defenses are not destroyed, obviously.
Right. Right. Just, it was time these days. It was yesterday, right? Or it was Wednesday. Wednesday night, President Trump came out and said, we've totally obliterated their air defenses. We are in total control. It's just a sort of a mop-up session from here on out, right? We just got to sort of, you know, dot the T's, cross the I's, and get out of here, right? No big deal. And then two days later, you got two planes and a helicopter blown out of the sky. I mean, this is humiliation on a global scale.
Oh, it's getting up to, they say, five or six planes at this point.
Well, right. That's what the RT post says. Iran calls it Black Day for U.S. Air Force. Five aircraft shot, air defense systems catch every target on camera. So yeah, they're saying five aircraft. We've three at least officially reported.
So yeah, the theory is that the Iranians were basically playing possum to a certain degree and just like acting like, look, it's kind of an obvious play for the Iranians to do, is to act like they don't have the capability to defend the air as much as they actually do. And then, well, look, shooting out an F-35 is challenging, supposedly. And then shooting out an F-15, that's not nearly as challenging, because F-15 is not a stealth aircraft. I'm sure it has the ability to, you know, accelerate really quickly and drop like flares and confuse heat-guided missiles. It has certain capabilities of evasion, but it's not like an F-35. F-35, you can't even see it. Supposedly, that's what we're told. But then, an A-10 Warthog, that has no defense whatsoever. A guy, right. That is just insane to deploy that over Iran. And then a Black Hawk helicopter, I mean, it's basically a suicide mission. No, Iran's a giant country. They're not going to have, you know, defense everywhere. But if you give them enough time, they can move the defenses to where the search and rescue operation is happening. That appears to be what happened, because it took them some time. But then, you know, boom, it happened. And then this is coinciding with media, like people who are reservists in the Israeli military kind of leaking to the media that they're not doing so good, and that the Israelis are trying to essentially recruit these guys who do nothing but study Torah.
Right.
And they refuse to serve in the military, these kind of like ultra-Orthodox religious guys. And they're manpower short, and they want to forcibly conscript those guys. Those guys absolutely refuse. They say, at all costs, we must block the forced conscription at all costs. And then on the other side, the Israeli analysis is that they're so short on manpower because they've conscripted like all the reservists basically, and they're extending their deployment. And these people have no more personal life. Their psychological health is suffering, and they're just getting killed in a long attrition type war. And they're not really having any success against Lebanon. They haven't been able to move forward more than maybe 12 miles deep. And now they've kind of walked back their claims and their objectives. They were saying, we're going to ethnically cleanse like the entire southern 20% of Lebanon. Now they're walking it back, and they're like, okay, maybe we'll just take like you know, 2 or 3 miles and make a buffer zone. And what's that going to do? You know, a little bit of, it's important to read the specs. It's important to understand the technical specifications of the equipment to bypass the spin and the propaganda and the emotional noise, right? Because the hard physics is not spinnable. So according to the physics, according to the specs of the equipment, the Hezbollah equipment has an effective range that far surpasses the buffer zone that they're creating. So right. What is it going to do?
Right.
Nothing. it physically can't do anything. I mean, what do they expect it to do? So.
Well, and you know, all of this together is kind of, you know, I think this is what lends this chaotic atmosphere to it, is we're used to for decades, sort of Israel and America kind of being able to do whatever the hell they want. And, you know, even if it's crazy, and you know, obviously they failed to invade Lebanon times before. You know, they aren't superhumans. They, you know, they have to contend with reality. They don't win all the time. But certainly with Gaza and, you know, for the past couple of years, it seemed like whatever Israel wanted to do, it did. And whatever America wanted to do, we got it done. And there's kind of nothing that could stop us. And now it's like everything's falling apart. Our aircraft are being shot out of the sky. Tel Aviv's being bombed. You got Israeli soldiers. We played the video I think you're referencing earlier where they're talking to the French reporter saying, I've been deployed for over a year straight. Psychologically, I'm collapsing. Like, it's going bad. Is it really going this bad? Like, that might be part of it. Is we're all going, is this really going this bad? Are they really that dumb? Did they really think they wouldn't close the Strait of Hormuz? Like, how did it go so badly so quickly?
Yeah, I have to go back to this Barbara Waters interview with Donald Trump from like 1988, where Donald Trump basically lays out his vision for how he would handle the Iran war. And he says that, well, actually, the crazy thing about it is that what he lays out is bigger and grander than what we're doing now. And then you combine that with Donald Trump's tweet or Truth Social from a couple days ago, where he's lamenting the fact that the United States public doesn't have the stomach to truly go in and seize the oil. You combine that with the Barbara Waters interview where he's telling Barbara Waters, what we really ought to do is go in and occupy essentially the coastal region of Iran. And we're going to take, basically it's like, it's going to be a hard war, but it'll be worth it because financially we'll be compensated like many, many times over.
Now you cut out there, John. We do have that video. Trump
yeah,
with Barbara Waters. We're going to play that on the other side of a commercial break that we got to take in 1 minute, just so people know. But you cut out there a little bit, so go ahead and pick up where you left off. All right,
okay,
shoot.
Okay,
go ahead.
All right, so basically it appears that Donald Trump, his plan for this war is like a Vietnam War era level of strategy, and that's why it's failing so bad.
It
just doesn't look like he's up to, you know, it's almost like he didn't know that Iran had advanced technology. It's really embarrassing, honestly.
Well, and that's what, and I sort of hinted at that earlier because I mentioned the Barbara Waters interview and what we were talking about earlier in the day. And, you know, that idea, it's just been sticking with me all day, that did he make a plan in the 1980s that he's trying to carry out right now? And did he not update his plan?
Yeah.
And is this really, you know,
yeah, that's definitely what it looks like. There was this Israeli-funded Middle East research project where they would take clips from Middle East media and kind of show it to show how evil and bad the Middle Easterners were, called Memory. Memory is supposed to make Middle Easterners look bad. And it gives you all the information.
Pick up right there on the other side. Don't go anywhere, John.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old.
America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at theallisonstore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the info war this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over body thing, theallisonstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
In a world where globalists, depopulationists, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the InfoWar today by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com and picking up a bottle of Zeolite.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Things are happening. See, our crew is doing some experimentation in the background here. I guess you don't need to know about it. Magic of television and all that. Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go there to keep us on the air and in the fight. There's some crazy stuff happening, I'm telling you. They're doing some ill-advised experimentation here. Could look cool, but it's melting down. We're all melting down here. Kind of looks crazy. I kind of like it. I don't know what's happening, but it's definitely happening. All right. Well, yeah, things are going crazy. This is not intentional. We're not trying to put a bunch of me's in the background, but bear with us because literally the operating system we use is melting down a little bit. And just before we went live, all the screens behind me were like flickering on and off, which is why I started saying that. So contribute to our fund to get a new TriCaster at thealexjonesstore.com. But no, of course, that's actually one of the exciting things about our new refurbished, re-ignition of InfoWars is we're going to get all new equipment. And won't that be fun? This looks crazy. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll fix it. Do we still have John? Is John still on with us?
Yes. Sir.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Sir,
all right.
Yeah, we were talking about,
memory. I know memory. Okay, I remember that.
Okay. Let's go down memory lane to memory TV. So, Memory TV is actually supposed to make Middle Easterners look bad. It's part of this whole like psyop that the Middle East is just basically backwards and should just be killed, or, you know, destroyed or whatever. And so in the process of trying to make the Middle East look bad, inadvertently, a bunch of their videos that they uploaded started going viral because it made the Middle East look hilarious, made the Middle East look cool, made the Middle East look like pretty clever and pretty advanced in certain ways. So they kind of stopped the memory project and started taking down their own stuff. But a lot of those videos, if you did, you know, spend your time keeping up with that stuff, it was breaking down in detail all the advancements of the Iranian military. And Harrison, you remember I told you a while ago, hey, if they want to go to war with Iran, the window of opportunity is really closing because when Russia and their neighboring country, Georgia, had their little war, the Israelis are the ones who sold all the drone technology to the Georgians. So all the drones in Georgia were Israeli drones that they were using against the Russians. Now, the Russians sold the anti-air missiles, SAM-300, surface-to-air missile 300, the S-300, to Iran. And so the Russians and the Israelis did a deal back then where the Israelis gave all the specs and like frequency information so that the Russians could neutralize the use of all those Israeli drones in the Georgia conflict in exchange for the S-300s, the anti-air weapons sold to Iran, being unable to target Israeli jets.
Whoa.
And this was an opportunity to do a huge war with Iran. If they wanted to do one, that would have been, you know, a logical time. Well, since then, the Iranians back engineered that equipment, discovered this, that Russia two-timed them back then, fixed it and made their own homegrown version that's far, far superior. And now they decided to invade Iran. Well, it's a horrible, I mean, if you know anything about the situation, you know that their technology has advanced way beyond what it used to be.
Yeah. And I mean, some of the missiles that we're seeing are like stuff we've never seen before. And again, you know, how did we know this, John? How did we know this? I mean, I know it because you knew it and you knew it because I assume you like read it on Telegram, right? It's like, how are we more informed than the Pentagon? Like that, I don't believe that's the case. It almost has to be that they're just lying about it and that they're getting us into a conflict that they know is not going to go well for us. Which just begs the other question, why we do that. But like, how is it that you and I were more accurate about the armament of Iran than the leaders of our country or Israel?
Right. And that reminds me of that whistleblower, CIA whistleblower, John Kiriakou, who said that he was in the CIA. He knew a lot of very qualified people who were higher ranked than him, career CIA guys who had amazing, you know, resumes. And then John Brennan comes out of nowhere with basically no resume and just gets put right at the top.
Hmm.
And his whole agenda is like completely disconnected from what would actually be the proper agenda of a true CIA leader. And they got their own, you know, deep state, globalist, antichrist, new world order, agenda. And they're implementing that. Well, who's making this decision to put this random guy in charge of the CIA who literally knows less and is far more morally compromised than the actual people who should get that job? Same thing with the FBI. They put people in charge of the FBI who have no business being in charge of the FBI. The rank and file of the CIA, the rank and file of the FBI, they know what they're doing. They're professionals. Same thing with the Pentagon. There's no doubt about it that, you know, that's what's going, that the, there's no way that the Pentagon knows less than we do. There's no way. So what is going on here? Well, I think that Donald Trump is extremely, you know, unfortunately, hard-headed and stubborn. And I think that he basically made up his mind that America could do it. And then he's lamenting the fact publicly now that the American public doesn't have the stomach to take the casualties necessary to achieve total victory in Iran. And he's basically publicly admitting that. So then, you know, you would ask yourself, well, if the public support isn't there to fully commit to achieve this plan you've had since the 80s, then why would you do a half-baked execution? Right. That is, you know what I mean? It's just, well, obviously he told a bunch of people he was going to do this. And these people are probably in large part the reason why he's the president now is because he offered this deal. But he is 100% on board with this. He thinks it's, he envisioned that this was going to be glorious. This is going to be great for the world and great for America. He truly did believe that. And Harrison, you know, you've known me my entire, you've known me since middle school, man. We have seen this time and time again where the Jewish controlled media of the West, Maxwell, made the textbooks for America. He's a Mossad agent. Okay. So this Israeli controlled or Talmudic Jew, you know, again, I have lots of Jews that we love. I don't want to be, I don't want to make it sound like I'm anti-Jew. It's important for people to understand there's millions of Jews who live in Iran right now. There's millions of Jews who are pro-Iranian government. And this is, so when they frame this as a religious conflict, that it's just that Iranians just want to kill all the Jews. Why don't they start killing the Jews in Iran?
Right.
If they want to kill all the Jews. Okay. So that's not a, it has nothing to do with that. Nonetheless, we got people like Maxwell who have put the Western man in a bubble. You guys were not informed that Israel was defeated by Lebanon in 2000. You guys were not informed that Condoleezza Rice and George Bush led a huge invasion to destroy Hezbollah in 2006. That was a total failure. You guys were not informed that ISIS was made specifically to attack the resistance against Israel and that ISIS is a tool using CIA-created Wahhabi radical Islam out of Saudi-funded mosques, and that they had Saudi-funded mosques all over the EU, that they radicalized thousands and thousands of youths and sent them to jihad against the enemies of Israel all over Europe. And all we hear about is the rapes in Europe. All we hear about is the terrorist attacks in Europe. But you don't, well, we don't hear that the governments of Europe themselves are absolutely complicit in this and are using their own countries as a staging ground and a training ground and a radicalization hotbed to generate jihadis, right, to jihad against the resistance of, against Israel. They're 100% complicit in the creation of ISIS, and that all of this was happening right under our nose. And they don't tell you guys this in the West. They think, they want you to think that you're in a holy war against Islam, when geopolitically the United States has been on the same page, on the same team as ISIS. Right. And the only form of Islam they don't like is the form of Islam that resists Israeli imperialism and, unfortunately, American imperialism, which our generation has had enough of. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And again, I don't want to get anyone pissed off by saying this. I welcome any debate on this. Trust me, you're not going to win. I'm going to be completely blunt with you. I got all the facts to back this up. You're not going to win a debate on this. I know if this offends you, you need to pop out of your bubble. You know, me and Harrison's generation is the single biggest cohort in demographics of the United States right now. And we know that the system is rigged against us. We have no doubt in our minds. For us to have any sense of success is nearly impossible. The average age of owning a house has been pushed back year after year after year after year. And now the new kids coming up, it really looks dark for them. And you know, me and Harrison care about this country and we care about the kids. And we care about the future. And that's why we care about this stuff. It's not because we're anti-American that we don't want American imperialism. And anyway, if me and Harrison were in charge of American imperialism, it would be going a lot better anyway.
Yeah, we'd actually benefit from it.
Yeah, we'd benefit from it. This is incompetent American imperialism. I don't want America to lose control. Look, people need to understand, if America loses control of the Middle East, the petrodollar is dead. If the petrodollar is dead, then it's going to be BRICS. And BRICS means America is no longer the dollar is no longer the world reserve currency. And when that's the case, the dollar will be valued like any other currency in the world, which is you take the number of dollars in circulation divided by the value backing it. And that calculation is how every other currency is valued except the dollar. As soon as you run that formula on the dollar is worthless because they've been printing so many and there's so many dollars in circulation. And what's backing it is not enough, that the value per dollar will basically go to zero. And the only reason why the dollar is not zero is because the world reserve currency, that international settlement of accounts, the SWIFT monetary system, is all based on the dollar.
Okay, but well, so on that note, because you're exactly right. I mean, is the Iran war not a necessary action? I mean, if we need to keep the dollar as a reserve currency for our nation to continue to survive, I mean, you know, I know that is an argument some people use for the war in Iran. What would you say to that?
Well, they've only accelerated their own demise. Because I've been advocating for a completely alternative strategy, which is that the United States needs to take the premier role in the hearts and minds of the world as the executor of international law. And then no one can supplant our number one position in the world. If we go around the world and we treat everybody fairly according to international law, that we use our military to enforce international law, that when the UN says, hey, you got to stop doing something, we come in with our military and we make it have teeth, then we would be loved and invited by everyone. If we go into countries and we help them, then we would stay as a number one power and we could be that, you know, God's instrument on earth. Instead, you have people thinking that China is a better partner than the United States. And that's entirely our fault. And this Machiavellian concept of, you know, zero sum game, that we need to take advantage of them and we need to put them down so we could be up. That is the wrong mentality. We need to really, you know, have a come to Jesus moment. Understand that when you, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, you can't constantly come in and try to put people down. And then, with the rise of technology on the other side of this, equation, you know, trying to win by brute strength and brawn, or financial isolation on our opponents is just not going to work. And if it's a product made to crumble. The people in charge, the people who run this empire are publicly talking about that it's actually the modern day Rome and that they're going to collapse it and they're going to move their headquarters over to the other side. And so the people running this empire are running it into the ground intentionally. And that's why we really need a groundswell of true American patriotism to come up. And just like I always tell people, we grew up saying the Pledge of Allegiance. What did we say? Liberty and justice for all. We swore a Pledge of Allegiance daily as kids. Liberty and justice for all. Does that not include Palestinians, Lebanese, Iraqis, Cubans, Venezuelans, North Koreans, Chinese, Russians, Iranians? Are they not included in for all? What a joke. You know, people got to wake up. And then Hulk Hogan, I'm a true American. I fight for the rights of every man. What happened to that? So, you know, what is it being an American?
You're exactly right, because you look at the way America acts overseas, and I used to say this all the time, and I still think it all the time. It's just like, what did they do to us? How did they do this to us? Like, what have we become? Because we are not the America that we should be at this point, and we are being led around by people that do not have our same beliefs. They believe in collective punishment. They believe in punishing the son for the sins of the father. I mean, they are brutal, they are inhuman, and they are anti-American. Why are we serving them? Why are we not enforcing our morality on them? Ours is better. Ours is the superior morality, and yet we are subservient to them. It's ridiculous, and it's shameful, and it exists only because of this subversion and trickery that takes place, because if it was a matter of brawn, we wouldn't take, you know, crap from anybody, but we do, and we don't need to. It's so frustrating. And you and I have been saying this since October 9th, 2023. America should be the referee. We should be the one who comes in and goes, you sit down, you sit down. If either one of you moves again, you're going to have to deal with me. That should be our role. I don't want to be the world police. But right now, we are the world police, only we're on the side of the bad guys. So it's like, wouldn't it be better if we did things to benefit the people of the world, benefit the people of the Middle East? Because, and again, this goes to what you're talking about, the mind washing, the brainwashing, the mind control that especially older people in our country have been saddled with. And it really is one of those things where as soon as you hear them say, you know, one of these slogans, one of these phrases, you just go, there's no hope here. Like if we're talking about the Iran war, we're talking about what's happening in Gaza, and the person just says something like, well, you know, they chant death to America. And it's like, okay, we're done. We can't talk anymore, because I can tell you have been radicalized to think that we are in a religious crusade struggle against the evil forces of Islam. And there's nothing I can say to, combat that. Even if I agree with them, even if I say, I agree with you, we should be fighting Islam, here's why what we're doing is contrary to that goal, it still doesn't matter. The brainwashing is too deep. Talk about that a little bit, John. Just the brainwashing that people are under, and how we talk to people who genuinely feel like we are in a religious war against Muslims, and that if we aren't on the side of Israel, then we must be on the side of those darn sand people.
Yeah, exactly, man. So the most obvious thing is, you know, if you go on Wikipedia and it has any analysis of any battle, any conflict, any war, it'll list the belligerents on either side. It'll list the flags and the countries of the people on this side versus the flags and the countries and the people on that side. Just go look at that flag breakdown, and you're going to see the United States is on the side of many Islamic governments that are not good. Saudi Arabia actually still crucifies people, and you know, is not a good place for Christians, or even an atheist, you know, or definitely not a good place for a Shiite Muslim. And so, you know, this idea that we are against Islam is part of their psyop for phase two. They have multiple phases that they're planning. If it's up to them, they would eliminate the Muslims that are not controlled by a central leadership out of Mecca, out of Saudi Arabia, and the Islamic cleric, sheikh or imam or the grand mufti of Mecca, because he's the custodian of the holy site. A lot of people don't know this, but it's like the pope. It's actually worse than a pope, because in Sunni Islam, they actually teach that even in your mind, if you question for 1 second the teachings of this guy, then you're going to hell forever, which is the telltale sign of a cult, that they tell you you're not even allowed to question in your mind or you're going to go to hell forever. And so these guys, this is the only form of Islam that they want to exist. This is a Western-controlled form of Islam. And so the Shiites and, you know, the more moderate forms of Islam, they don't want that. They don't want that. They are actually working to eliminate that from the earth. And so, you know, they have a plan for a global war of a crusaders versus a caliphate. And that's going to be the huge war to divide the people, then bring about the Antichrist who will make peace between these two factions. That's really what this is all about, is they're trying to eliminate the loose ends. That's the perfect phrase to explain to people what's going on here. Why are they hell-bent on destroying these certain countries and these certain denominations? What's the deal here? If they really cared about Islam, they would attack Saudi Arabia. They don't care about that. They don't care about that. They love Saudi Arabia. They love these other guys, because as soon as the Antichrist comes, those people are lined up, ready to go. They're going to follow exactly in line for one world government, one world religion. The people who are not lined up for that are the traditional Catholics, who the Vatican is not really cool with them. I mean, right now, this current pope doesn't seem too bad, but traditional Catholics have a lot of problems with their leadership. They are being treated somewhat bad by their leadership. Traditional Catholics are not likely to go with one world religion. Traditional Orthodox, not likely to go with one world religion. Real traditional Muslims are not likely to go with one world religion. And real Jews are not likely to go with one world religion. And those are the people they want to eliminate. So there is a religious aspect to this, but it's very complicated because it's about control. They are using religion for control. They don't actually care about the theology except as far as will you be lined up for one world religion? Will you be lined up for the Antichrist? Now, God is the true judge. God is the true one in control. We have a friend named Conrad, who me and Harrison are hopefully going to have on and talk to. He's interviewed personally a lot of people about World War III prophecies. He's somewhat of a World War III prophecy expert, and he knows his stuff. And when we talk to him, we're going to figure this out as far as what is God's plan in this? How is God's vision actually what's going to happen in what's coming? And remember, the prophecies, the Orthodox prophecies said that you'll be drinking coffee one day and you'll hear Israel hit the Iranian nuclear facilities. Bam, it happened exactly like that. Step two, they said Erdogan is going to be replaced. Now, Erdogan has come out and taken a very strong stance saying he'll jump in the war on Iran's team in a heartbeat, because they're activating the Kurds against Iran. And this guy hates the Kurds. He views them as terrorists. They're listed as terrorists in Turkey. And so he's like, if you guys activate these terrorists with big support from America, I'm done playing Mr. Nice Guy. I'm going to jump in on the Iranian side 100%. So Erdogan is biting the hand that feeds him. You know, the people who put him in power, people who armed him, people who established him. He's turning on them. Well, he's getting too big for his britches, right? So he's going to have to be replaced. And so that's exactly what the Orthodox prophecy says. When he gets replaced, eventually he will cross the line against Russia and against Greece, which will trigger Russia to actually cause a huge World War III around Constantinople, now called Istanbul, the Bosphorus Straits. And these are Orthodox Christian prophecies of World War III. These plans, these futures that I'm discussing are not in the minds of the AI. It is not in the minds of the elite. It's not in the minds of the Pentagon. It's not in their minds. The God is leading them to a great delusion. They cannot foresee the true future. Their vision of the future is a delusional vision of the future. And if you have any doubt in what I'm saying, just remember that 5 aircraft fell down today, that they're flying Black Hawk helicopters and A-10 Warthogs from the Vietnam War era right over the top of a country that has some of the best air defenses proprietary in the world. And don't tell me they're not delusional. They're absolutely delusional. And even a basic, even a Vietnam War era general would have known not to do this. A guy in his 80s from the gas station would know not to do this. So they're absolutely delusional. As the Bible says, they'll be given over to a great delusion. They do not know what the future is. And World War III, they're not God. It's important for people to understand. They play God, but they're not God. World War III is going to be a great humbling of the elite of the earth. And it's going to be an elimination of their power in order to fulfill what the gospel says, that the gospel of Christ will be preached to the four corners of the world before the Antichrist will be allowed to take power. Because spiritually speaking, it is once the Antichrist takes power and they have one world government, the prison planet is made. They close the door on the prison planet. The people born in that time, people born and raised during that time, will never hear about Jesus. They will never have an opportunity to be saved, and they will never have even the chance to even think about it, because the system, the AI God that will run everything, would even be able to read your facial expressions and determine anybody who could preach the gospel will be eliminated. In fact, you'll have to worship the image of the beast in order to participate in commerce. And as soon as you worship the image of the beast, you open yourself up to demonic possession. So they are planning on making Christianity 100% impossible to even exist, outlawed entirely. And so in order, spiritually speaking, for that to be allowed to happen to the earth, first, Jesus has to be preached to the four corners of the world, which has not happened yet. There are millions of people, hundreds of millions who have never heard of Jesus, who have no way to believe in Jesus. And God is not going to allow them to do their plan, which is to roll out the Antichrist in the prison planet as fast as possible. It's not going to be allowed. World War III is going to be a very short war that afterwards there will be a boom of Christianity, a massive spread of people believing in Jesus. And we will, according to the prophecies, have a 40-year renaissance before they actually can roll out the Antichrist. Why 40 years? Why is it 40 years in the Bible? Probably because that's when people's memory fades. That's two or three generations. And then people can be fooled into worshiping the devil because they will have forgotten everything that God did for them in World War III. Now, this is very complicated stuff. This is very deep stuff. We're going to have to, you know, have a whole episode or a whole thing about this. You know, I'm going over it really fast because we don't have a lot of time. But I just want to remind people that God's in charge. These people are delusional. This is not being run properly. And, you know, we need to take our country back at the end of the day, though.
Amen. Wow. Incredibly powerful stuff. That's Lebanon John. Follow him on X at @Lebanon_John. That's Lebanon_John. Of course, it's kind of a misnomer, but because he's American, he was born in America. His parents are Lebanese, and he pays attention to what goes on in the Middle East, as you can obviously tell. He, of course, is my co-host on Moonbase Live. You can follow us on X at Moonbase Live or Moonbase.show. We're on Rumble at Moonbase Live, and we will be doing a big episode this week with Conrad. We'll be getting into all of this. Thank you so much for being here with us, folks. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter, and we'll see you on Monday.
Let me do this. The folks at Bigley, about 7-8 months ago, came out with this top-of-the-line Faraday cage backpack with all these special pockets, super high quality. I'd previously bought a bag for myself personally like this, similar brand, $400 or $500. The problem was they only got 500 of these. Well, guess what? They got a couple thousand of them finally in. It took 7-8 months. It's a $600 value, just the bag, for $249. But guess what comes in it? America First Faraday bag, America First Tactical Trench Knife. It's badass. America First T-shirt, MK Ultra Atomic Defense Supplements, Shilajit Gummies, Shilajit Capsules, Irish Sea Moss Capsules, Warcry Premium product, and more. And VIP members get it for $199. Also, as you can now read in the newspapers, the Texas receiver is saying he's not going to pay the rent or the bills. So you guys, when are we going to shut down? Tomorrow? 2 weeks from now? I'm going to just wait till the lights turn off, okay? You'll probably see InfoWars go down the site. You see streaming shut down. Once we can't do it, we have the All Shows Network built at Bigley Owns, and I'm going to go over and do it there. But I'm going to ride this horse till it dies. I'm going to ride this race car till the engine blows or the wheels come off. Or I crash into the embankment. I ain't giving up. I'm riding this horse till I win or I lose. And then the media's like, oh, he's finally going to lose. Oh, yeah, all right. I am the InfoWar. Our listeners are the InfoWar. And we got a whole line. Here's the first one, a limited edition Veterans of the InfoWar t-shirts. Look at this. This is badass. And it's the troops on Iwo Jima raising the American flag with the InfoWars patch where the stars are. InfoWars lives forever. It is an amazing limited edition shirt. Look at that bad boy. And it funds this operation, but also the Alex Jones Network to keep us on the air. We need funds. We want to get more reporters back and expand, but we need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com.